Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I'm going to create a new feature right now.
Yes.
On the show. Open Fanadelphia.
Fanadelphia.
Come on, man. What do you want to say? Go ahead. Wow. Big night last night. Were you there? Were you, did something cool happen?
Are you not going into work today?
Are you not going into work today? Were you up all night long? Are you still up all night long? What did you do to ensure a win last night? I got a text from a guy who said that they won last night because he made his buffalo chicken dinner.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Wow. I don't doubt it.
That's why they won it. So
well, I was
going
to thank Casey's kids because I'm sure they wore the right things to bed on Saturday night, right?
Everybody in my family was on point.
Okay.
And Marissa, I'm sure, had purple underwear on yesterday,
yeah,
right?
Thumbs
up from Marissa.
Yes.
So,
you know, I obviously I follow the team. There's so many great guys on the team, and I'm incredibly enthusiastic to see it. But I was grinning ear to ear, knowing tacitly that Casey was there at the game, absorbing every minute of it, and just enjoying it and having a fantastic time. And Marissa as well.
She's a super fan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what? For the first time in my life, and I'm kind of ashamed to say this, but I cried during the national anthem.
Oh, no.
It's never to be ashamed about.
It was awesome.
I well up all the time.
Dude knocked it out of the park, and I know he's done it before, but, that was an impressive anthem.
I was singing along, and then we got into, like, the Rockets' Red Glare, and I couldn't sing anymore. And I'm like, oh, my God, what are these things that are coming out of my eyes right now?
Water.
Yeah.
My eyes are raining.
But I think, you know, I made an assessment on Friday that that probably holds the most water with me as far as superstitions are concerned.
Okay.
And I think Philadelphia won the superstition tug of war. That is why it had nothing to do with what the guys were doing on the field.
It was a minimal effort at that.
Exactly.
No, but so you think that there was just a collective, greater, more comprehensive effort in the superstition realm than the other guys were willing to put up.
I know. I took my superstitions to a whole new level, Steve. I had bath gel, you know, like soap in my shower that was gold. And I took it, I put it in a bag, and I put it away. I said, because there's gold in the Vikings uniforms. And then I went and bought Irish Spring because it's green.
God. All right, that's a quiet commitment to just a little minutia that really makes the difference.
I would like to say thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I did my thing, which is I have never watched, and I say this, I have never straight through watched an Eagles victory. On television, it just never happened. So when I jump in and out, they win. So that's what I did.
I would like
to say
thank you.
Thank you. Anytime.
I watched the game. So there you go. That
thank you.
Too, right?
Thank
like
you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
Do you know we were talking on Friday about inspirational sports stories and so on and so forth. The whole concept, you couldn't script this any better, though. You have Nick Foles come in after Carson Wentz had done such a phenomenal job and leading through the year, and just
Nick Foles is going to retire too.
Yeah, on a basic dramatic level, you have a guy come in and being the underdogs and all that stuff. It's a classic story that played out. It couldn't have played out any better. Now, obviously, we have 2 weeks, and then we'll see how that goes. But even to this point, it's a Herculean effort.
Well, I would say, listen, this team is playing with house money. As far as the fans and the pundits were concerned, we weren't supposed to be in the playoffs at all. So, I went into yesterday's game, pretty chill, pretty relaxed. I was happy, obviously, and hyped up when things started turning our way. But
Zach Ertz got really emotional last night because his wife is not there with him. Julie got the news that the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl, and so Zach saw a video of his wife, who was not in South Philly last night, getting emotional about it, and then Zach got really emotional about it, too.
So, is she the soccer player?
She is, yeah. So she had a game yesterday, and after the game, the video is up on the screen here.
It's adorable.
Studio. So she gets really excited about it, and then a reporter, I think it was John Clark, showed Zach Ertz the video of his wife getting all emotional, and then Zach got all emotional. So that was really touching. Casey, I wanted to hear what you had to say and what Marissa had to say when the interception happened, because I was watching it with a friend, and the game did not start off in a way that most Eagles fans were excited about. The stadium seemed like it got kind of quiet, and then that interception happened, and everything turned.
And then, You know, and I said this earlier this season, you know, about the stating being, I had never heard it louder. When he scored that touchdown, I had never heard Lincoln Financial Field louder in my life. When he intercepted it, it was loud. When he started running, it was loud. And then when he reversed field, it got even louder. And then when he points to Ronald Darby to block Jerick McKinnon, it got even louder. And then he got into the end zone, and then, like, you know, it just erupted.
Foreman on the rush. He throws. He's picked. Patrick Robinson back the other way. Looking for a block. Gets it. Robinson for the touchdown.
There you go. We're going to go to the phones. Jessica, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Jessica. What do you want to share with us?
Well, I just wanted to share that my husband is currently deployed in Kuwait right now with the Delaware National Guard. And he is a huge Eagles fan, as am I. So this has been just an exceptionally just sweet ride this whole season. So it's been extra special for us. But I also just wanted to say that, unfortunately, last night I was trying to get my son ready for his bedtime routine. So I had given him a bath, and that was actually when the Vikings had scored. So I apologize, because as soon as I put on his...
That's when it happened. Okay.
Right? A blowout.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You did everything right, because it all recorrected.
You realize your mistake at the moment, and then you straightened it out.
Yes, I did.
Okay, good job. You done good. Open Fanadelphia. I'm going to go to Richie on the phones. Hey, Richie, good morning.
Oh, sorry to bother you guys at work.
Sorry, man. What's up, buddy?
Oh, my God. Guys, this is my first year. I'm actually working for the team this year.
Wow.
And I got to give a shout out, if you don't mind, to my guys on the Swoop crew at the Eagles.
Sure.
Because it has been the greatest year. I think I picked a good year to join, guys.
I think you did, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, this has been unreal. And just being there last night, getting to celebrate with the guys, being able to celebrate, just being on the field. I've got an awesome picture of me just making a snow angel in the confetti.
That's awesome.
It's just been the greatest thing. And thank you guys for opening up the platform so I can share.
No problem, Richie. There seemed to be people were taking pictures and selfies. There seemed to be no bad angle. Every picture last night looked like it was off Sports Illustrated, because especially after the win, everybody was just going nuts. Everywhere you pointed the camera, there was something amazing going on.
And that my wife actually texted me a picture, and she said, "Oh my God, you're on TV." And now I'm actually sitting in the parking lot. I'm a fifth grade teacher, and I'm sitting in the parking lot, and my kids are going to be there in like 15 minutes. I've got next to no voice left. And I've already declared today is going to be movie day and no homework for
two. Yes, yes.
Homework, you're the best.
Hey, nice job. Richie, I'm not going to do it to my boys. I teach it at all boys school, and I'm not doing it to them. We have school uniforms. The school uniform for the next 2 weeks in Mr. B's class is Eagles green and nothing else.
Excellent.
I love it.
Congratulations.
I just wasn't sure. Are you part of the crew that comes out after they score touchdowns with the flags and everything? Or?
No, I'm part of the crew that follows around Swoop all game long. We got the best crew and the best mascot in the entire NFL.
Nice.
Okay, because at one point during the game, it was after the last touchdown that they scored, they kicked the extra point, and then there was a scuffle on the field.
I saw that. They were trying to take the field.
Yeah. I don't know why the scuffle happened. I missed everything.
Thanks, Richie.
What was great was, as you know, so the scuffle's happening, and then they go bing, bong, bing, bong, and they come. All the cheerleaders come out, and the flags come out, and they're in the middle of the scuffle.
The cheerleaders got in the middle of the scuffle, and I was concerned.
Yeah, so was I.
Not that somebody's going to turn around and clock a cheerleader in the face or anything like that, but might get knocked over.
You're too peppy!
Yeah. Speaking of cheerleaders, let me go to Brendan. Hi, Brendan. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Brendan?
Hey, man. So, thank you so much for opening this up for everybody. Turns out my entire family are Steelers fans, but my sister decided to jump ship and turned into an Eagles cheerleader for this season.
Yeah.
Nice.
And she is slowly converting my entire family to Eagles fans.
Well, that is no small feat. So, you know, and then kudos to the tightness of your family that you would even consider that. But if you're going to pick a year to jump ship, this is the year.
You know what? It's such an interesting experience to have her come back and tell me all the things about the locker room and how tight this team is. And, you know, it's cool. But we found out, you know, they're going. The cheerleaders are going to Minneapolis. They're going out to the bowl.
Wow.
And if anything happens, you know, she gets a ring, all that stuff. It's just a super cool experience. So I want to give a big shout out to her and all the cheerleaders.
Well, two things, Brendan. Is this her? What's her name? And also, is this her first year as an NFL cheerleader?
Yes, her name is Megan, and this is her first year as an NFL cheerleader.
Wow, congratulations.
I'm
really excited.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. You know, go Birds.
Yeah, all right, yeah. All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it, Brendan. Nice to hear from you. Let me go next to, I'm going to go to Craig. Craig, Open Fanadelphia. You're on. What's up, bud?
What's up, White Fox?
Yeah.
Craig Legans.
What's up, dude?
I told everybody that this day was going to come, and nobody believed me. So I had to show up to work and yell at the top of my lungs in the conference center to let everybody know that this was the day that was going to happen, that I foretold, that I foreswore at the beginning of this season. I didn't sleep. I haven't eaten nothing since 6:40 yesterday night.
Wow.
And I'm still up. I moved. I live right next door to El Rey restaurant, where you guys have the greatest Mexican food. Everyone ran out of that restaurant after the game was over, and they just stood on Chestnut Street for the rest of the night.
So this morning, were there people still gathered? Because I know there are still people at the Link parking lot. I mean, people have not gone home. It's just continuing.
I stepped over so many people's feet that felt like it was Occupy Philadelphia. They weren't homeless. They were just Eagles fans. They were so exhausted. They just dropped right there in the street with their Eagles jerseys still on their feet, their pom-poms everywhere, face paint all over the sidewalk. It's incredible.
You know what's wild, Craig, is that this has the feeling of this, and you know, vicariously living through Casey and Marissa and seeing everything, there is a quiet, and there has been all along, this quiet confidence and camaraderie with these players that just seems to be getting it done. And last night was a perfect example of they just went ahead and got it done far more effectively than, you know, anyone was thinking, even the people who were calling it in their favor. It was just a blowout.
It was a blowout, and it was all due to me because
yes. All due to you.
My superstitions that I've been going through this whole season has come true during the 9-game winning streak. I didn't look at any pregame stuff during the week. I didn't read any newspaper. Didn't watch any ESPN, nothing. I just turned on the game every Sunday. I was at the game last Saturday. I wore my Punisher shirt, my Punisher underwear, my Punisher socks. We won. Last night, I had the same thing on, but I put on my Eagles hoodie and my Eagles McDonald and McNabb jersey from the last time we went to the Super Bowl because I felt so confident we were going to win. Minnesota scored. I took it all off, put on my Punisher pajamas. We scored 38 straight points.
Boom. Wow. There you go.
Wow.
Boom. Good work, man. Thank
right
you for that.
There.
Yeah,
thank
keep that same system.
Yeah. And we thank you, Craig.
And we thank you, Preston. Thank you for having Rodney McLeod on and all the great Eagles. Hey, you guys are the good luck charm, too.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Appreciate it, Craig.
I did have to figure out at the game last night, like, what was the right configuration for everything. By the way, I sold my ticket to one of Marissa's friends. I told her, I said, they're not allowed to sit with me.
So, they're not allowed to sit with you?
Yeah. Here's the ticket. This will get you in the building. Okay. And then,
oh my God.
Wait a minute. So they simply bought admittance to the building and they couldn't use the seat.
Listen, so you had an empty seat next to you?
Oh, yeah.
The whole game.
I would like to say thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
How did you play the dog mask? Because you had a definite system that you were going to employ for that.
Wasn't allowed to wear the dog mask until
they won.
Until it was, well, I put it on before they won. Because it became very apparent. But
statistically, when it became an impossibility for them.
What I realized is that, so I had an old Eagles knit cap, okay. And then I had my Eagles hat, right? Baseball cap. And then I had the dog mask. And what I realized is that if I... kind of like made like a taco, right? Like a dog taco where I held the knit cap around the dog mask. So I never physically touched the dog mask. And then I had my other hat in my right hand. That's when all the good things happened.
And it happened.
And it happened.
As foretold by the prophets.
Nick would like to say thank you.
I would like to say thank you.
Marissa?
Well, I have to say thank you to Casey. That ticket actually was for my dad. Oh, was it really?
I didn't want to tell you because you didn't want to know who it was for.
I didn't want to know who it was for.
But my dad was watching the weather, and it was a nice day yesterday, so he wanted to come, and I'm thankful that I got to spend it with him. So thank you.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
How did he sit with you if the seat next to you was taken by someone else?
I've squeezed like six people in those seats. It doesn't matter. I can stand up in my seats because I'm on a wall.
Yeah.
Okay. So we just all squeezed in there.
Very cool.
Hey, Casey, how long did people stay last night after the game ended?
Until the ceremony was over.
Okay.
Which was great. Great, because did you watch the ceremony?
I did. Yeah.
How did it sound when we all started singing the fight song?
Well, it was Terry Bradshaw. Awesome.
It was hilarious because Terry Bradshaw started the singing and then tried to stop it like a moron.
He can't.
Yeah,
he's halfway through the song. And
let it finish out, man. Get to the chant.
Uh-huh. It was a runaway train, and the crowd just continued straight through, and he had to wait it out.
Oh, that's great.
I'm going to go back to Open Fanadelphia. It's Joe who's on the line next. Hey, Joe. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? So my big superstition for yesterday was my dad used to do it back when he was still alive. If it was a big game when it came to the Eagles, he would wait a little bit after it started, turn it on. If they were winning, he would shut it off immediately and not watch the whole game because they would win every time.
That's my system. Yeah.
So I did the same thing. As soon as I got home, I told my wife to turn the TV on. I was like, turn it on. I got to see the score. So I saw the score and saw they were winning. I said, turn it off. She's like, look at me like I'm nuts. I was like, she's like, why? I'm like, because if I watch it, it's going to go south. They're going to lose. Turn it off. So she turned it off, and I would gauge the game by the racket outside because there's a bar across the street from my house. So when I would start hearing fireworks and people screaming, I'm like, all right, it's going good.
Joe, yeah, so the same thing. When I have never, when I've watched a full Eagles game on TV, I have never watched a win. So the only way for them to win is for me to watch the game incrementally. And then once I know that they are winning, I jump in quickly. Yeah. And if I jump in and they're in commercial, I have to wait like 15, 20 minutes before I can jump back. It's just my thing. I have to sort of clear the deck and then reset. And that's what he did last night. It worked like a charm.
Hey, Nick, do you have something you want to say to Steve?
I would like to say thank you.
Listen, you don't need to call me a hero.
And Joe.
And Joe as well.
And Joe, I'd like to say thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks, Joe.
So my wife just texted me, and she said, how am I supposed to get through 2 weeks of work without being able to wear navy blue? And I'm going to tell you, Diane, it's any shade of blue.
Any
shade of red. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's really just game day.
What about white?
No, I've already said whites don't matter.
let me go to Lewis. Hey, Lewis, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing? You guys rock.
Thanks, man. How you doing?
How long have you been partying?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. When the way the first quarter started, I always take a shower before the game and in between quarters. And after I get out the shower, I take a shot of Johnny Walker. And, oh, God. After the first quarter, each shot and each shower was so sweet.
Wait, you take a shower between each quarter?
Yeah, to shake off the bad juju.
To wash the bad juju off you. That is pretty, that's pretty elaborate. I like that.
Let me go to Karen. Hi, Karen, good morning.
Morning. I am banned from watching the Eagles game.
What?
Do tell.
Yes, I am in a mixed marriage. I'm originally from Brooklyn, and so I'm a Giants fan.
Oh, okay.
An Eagles fan. And I am not allowed to watch the game because every game this year that I have not watched, they won. The worst part is I'm hosting the Super Bowl this year at my house. So the entire family room is going to be filled, all my friends at watching the game, and I am going to be banned to the other room.
Karen, we're calling on you, too, to make sure you do not see 1 second of that game, even though it is the Super Bowl. Can you do that for us? All right. I think Nick wants to say something to you.
Karen, I'd like to say thank you.
You're welcome.
Good luck. Hope everybody else has fun at the party.
Stay in the kitchen.
Yeah. You know, though, my family from New York, I mean, they were texting us since, you know, the Giants weren't in it. They were rooting for the Eagles. It was just because we're all down here, you know, so they were excited about it.
Yeah, Cameron Rupp of the Phillies was a diehard Cowboys fan. He was decked out in Eagles gear.
Was he really?
Yeah, it was cool.
All right.
I'm going to go next to Dan. Hi, Dan. You're on the air. Good morning.
Gadzooks,
buddy. What's up?
I would like to thank you, Steve, for making the song Fly, Jesus, Fly last week.
I had hoped.
My church
sang that song yesterday.
No way. Are you effing with me? Did you guys really sing it?
We really sang it. First, they got all the kids up there. They had them sing Fly, Eagles, Fly. And then they pulled one kid up. Saw the pastor, you know, he's mumbling to him, and he says, oh, the Jesus. And then all of a sudden, you hear the kids sing Fly, Jesus, Fly. And they went J-E-S-U-S, Jesus.
That's perfect.
Did they hear about that from our show?
I have no idea.
Fly, Jesus, Fly worked.
What church was it, Dan?
It was the Trinity BBM.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is that?
It's in Northeast Philly. It's on Bustleton and Welsh Road.
Very nice.
Did you guys see the picture of the priest?
Thanks, Dan.
On the pulpit?
Yes.
In green. Well, I mean, they're all wearing green because it's ordinary time, but he was wearing the dog mask on.
It was hilarious. Yeah, yeah.
Let me go to other people who claim their reason for victory last night. I'm going to go to Sean. Hey, Sean, good morning.
How's it going, guys?
Good. What's up, Sean?
So I only drink the most finest of local beers during the game. Only drink Yards Brawler.
Okay. Yards Brawler.
And a few rounds.
Yeah. So are you meticulous in the way you drink? Will you nurse it, or will you? Do you have a specific cutoff? Or
I carry a case with me anywhere I go when I go to a game. Only make sure I go to any bar that has it. Never drink anything else during a game besides Yards.
All right. If that gets it done,
I would like to say thank you.
All right, Sean. Good work, man. Everybody's got their reason. Tony has something simple to say. Hey, Tony, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. I only have one question for you guys.
Sure.
Who let the dogs out?
Who?
Oh, God.
I have a question for you guys. Yeah. I have a question.
Yes.
So, I haven't washed these pair of underwear in 3 weeks every Sunday. They're Eagles underwear.
Mm-hmm.
You think I should wash them this week?
No, you want to know why? Because those skid marks are pointing towards the Super Bowl.
I think you should wear them on your head, Tony.
There it is.
Thanks, Tony.
Do you realize this will be the first Super Bowl in forever where you're actually really completely invested in the game and the commercials?
Because
it used to be, you know, sometimes, Super Bowls can be great and they can be boring, but there is nothing like having a team in the Super Bowl.
We always just look for the commercials.
It's really been the main thrust of the Super Bowl many years past. Yeah,
different.
Completely different.
So I don't know if we're going to come back to the game yesterday at all, but just in case we're not. At one point during the fourth quarter, I knew we were going to win, so I went down and I sat with my brothers. Their section, by the way, didn't sit the entire game. So it was, they had no problem squeezing me in. Nobody cared, you know, and around them were like, no, come on in.
It's a love fest at that point.
Oh, yeah. So the guy who he's the season ticket holder right next to my brother. He says he's probably around 65 years old. He's like, hey, M. Night Shyamalan was at our tailgate. And I'm like, no way. I'm like, well, where do you tailgate? And he says, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, wow. And so he's fishing in his phone for, finishing his pocket for his phone.
Yeah.
He pulls out his phone and he shows me a picture of him and M. Night Shyamalan.
Right.
It is just some Indian guy.
Dude. Are you serious?
I look at it, I go, that's not M. Night Shyamalan. He goes, no, it is. I go, no, I know what he looks like.
Oh, no.
I
know. That's his mark. Kim Jong-un was at our tailgate.
So, God. Then he Googles M. Night Shyamalan, and he shows me an actual picture of M. Night Shyamalan from Google. I go, yeah, that's M. Night Shyamalan. He goes, yeah, that's who was at that. I go, it's not the same guy that's in your picture, man. And he looks at me, he goes, oh, no. He goes, I put it on Facebook.
Oh, no.
He's like, everybody was getting their picture with this guy.
Was he claiming to be M. Night Shyamalan? He may have been.
Oh, my God.
He may have been.
So,
but you know what he looks like? All Indian guys look alike.
That's what I said to my, God. I go, dude, you're so racist. He's like, no, I'm not.
Oh, dude.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, he got confused. But that's too funny.
So, Case, Bradley Cooper was there last night. Did you see any other celebs? In the, you know, I know Ryan Howard was there, so
no,
he came
mean,
to celebrate.
I have no, like, was Mike Trout there?
He was, yeah.
Joel Embiid there?
I didn't see Joel Embiid.
Eric Lindros was there, apparently.
Oh, really? That's cool. Yeah, Mike Trout was in the end zone where he normally sits, and Carson Wentz came over and gave him a big bro hug at one point, so that was cool.
Yeah, so I still don't know if M. Night Shyamalan was there or not. But
that guy was.
That guy was. Wow, okay. All right, anyhow, this has been Open Fanadelphia.
Yes.
In the meantime, we are going to have to take a little break. But congratulations.
Yes.
Super Bowl bow, baby, all the way.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. Two tender filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four juicy boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, four traditional kielbasa sausages, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get it's for $39.99, and what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, grab your friends, and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit HandAndStone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston & Steve Show podcast.
You ready for our guest?
Yes.
He's had a day of rest and probably excitement, a lot of excitement. Please welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bo Allen of your Philadelphia Eagles, Super Bowl bound.
Hey,
Bo.
Guys?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me on again.
Anytime. Absolutely. So, yeah, it's a stupid question. How you doing?
I'm doing really well.
Yeah, man.
I'm doing great.
Have you had time to really live with it and get yourself ready?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Yesterday, I was just kind of laying around. I didn't really do a whole lot and was really enjoying myself. It was one of the best days I've had all year.
So, I would imagine.
It's kind of back to work now, I guess, today. You know, we still got another game to play.
Yes.
Yeah, Bo, there's a scene in the movie Major League where they're all really excited because they're going to they're advancing. They're moving forward. They're playing really well. And Jake says to Wesley Snipes, well, we haven't won anything yet. And it seems to me like the mentality that you guys have had is that Sunday was really exciting, and maybe the win was a bit of a surprise the way that it came about. You know, it was kind of a drubbing of the Vikings. And that's awesome. But you haven't won anything yet, and I love that mentality, that there is one more game to go.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know if it's always the best thing to compare a team to the guys in Major League.
it's probably a good idea, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's a good comparison. I think that definitely applies.
So I saw a movie called Titanic. The truth of the matter is, but I think to Nick's point, I think what we're seeing from you guys, and we've commented on it often, and when you were in the studio here a couple times, there is a sort of a zen state you appear to be in where you're all jibing so well, and there's not a lot. We're not perceiving a lot of sweating it. We're just seeing a lot of let's get it done. Is that your feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a crazy year in terms of it feels like, you know, we've had to deal with so many different things in terms of like injuries and stuff like that. It's kind of been that way all across the league, but I don't think guys have ever really been phased at all. And I think that's kind of what you're alluding to.
Yes.
It seems like. And, you know, that's how it kind of goes every year, but I think guys definitely stepped up and that's what happened on Sunday. Guys were never really rattled by any sort of situation. There's never any situation that was too big for guys or, guys didn't really get too big for the moment. It was, I think that's really cool. That speaks to like the testament of our team, really.
Well, it's so exciting, and I think the whole city is, you know, extremely excited that you guys are going to the Super Bowl. But what now? So how much practice and how much rest do you get until the day?
So it's actually 2 weeks away. It's in Minnesota, where I'm from, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's wild.
Before we talk about that, yesterday you were talking about how excited the city was, and I was like, yesterday I was watching videos all day of like the celebrations and stuff like that on Sunday night. I couldn't get enough of that, but. We're kind of getting our schedule here today, basically, and I'll know more about that. But it's almost kind of weird. It's almost like a bowl week for like college football games, because you go out like in college, you go practice at the bowl site for a week. So we're doing that basically. But other than that, I'm not really too sure what the logistics are. I think it'll mostly be a normal week in terms of practice and preparation and things like that.
Yeah, that seems to be the way you guys are proceeding. Just you know, follow the protocol and get it done. Did you make any extra trips to like the 7-Eleven yesterday just to go out?
Yeah,
because I couldn't help it. If I was in your position, I'd be like, let me walk around the mall a little bit.
Out and about a little bit, just kind of soaking it in.
I just think it's funny because I spent yesterday watching highlights of the game from Sunday night, and you spent yesterday watching highlights of the fans.
Yeah, weird how that works. Right?
Yeah, I watched the game all because I was at the game on Sunday night, so I didn't get to watch the TV perspective. So, you know, my wife, I love her so much. She DVR'd the game for me. I didn't even ask her to. She just knew. And so last night after dinner, I sat down and I watched the game. And I didn't realize that you were the one that came to Brent Celek's defense at the end of the game. So cheers to you for that.
Celek's my guy. He's a great guy. So I had to come up to bat for him a little bit.
Bo, you know, you said you watched the videos of fans. Have you seen the guy running through the subway? And
that's kind of what I was.
It's so good.
I hope he's all right.
Then. He's okay.
No, he is. There was an updated report that he says he's okay.
There are two videos, Bo. You got to check the one that you see that is actually from inside the subway car looking out as he's running alongside. And then there's an angle that his buddy took where you actually see him hit the pillar and then careen off the moving train.
He hits the train.
It's wow. Nuts. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that guy's all right.
He's doing fine. Yeah.
So Sunday night, was it tough to settle down and get to sleep and call it a night? Were you jazzed, or was it easy for you to get back?
It's always, you're always pretty amped up after, especially night games like that. It's weird because, like, as a player, and you, like, I love the atmosphere of night games, and I love everything that goes into that, but you almost, like, I would much rather play in the afternoon or, like, almost in the morning. Yeah. Just because then you're not waiting around all day and you don't have that buildup of anticipation and all that stuff. But so after night games, you can never really sleep. And then, you know, on Sunday, you magnify that times 1,000. And I was basically up all night.
I think it goes around all professional sports. I went to a Flyers game earlier this year. It was a day game. I was talking to some of the guys. They were like, thank God. He's like, they all need to be day games.
It's kind of nice when you just wake up and you're, you know, basically headed right over the stadium and you're kind of getting ready.
You know, I was reading an article today in one of the papers about how, like, some of the reporters and some of the sports guys are sort of amazed at the reaction. There seems to be almost sort of a national embracing of the Eagles, because this team, you guys, have you caught that as well?
I mean, a little bit. It's definitely been a special year in terms of, I mean, when you win like that, you definitely get a lot of attention. But I think the way that we've done it, too, and kind of what I was talking about earlier, the things we've overcome, I also think one aspect of that, you know, I think we're a pretty likable group of almost like relatively normal guys, if you know what I mean.
I tweeted out that, and I use the term admirable. This is the team that everyone wants. This iteration, you guys, this is the team that everyone is embracing.
One thing I think too that I was kind of thinking about, especially after Sunday night, is we're a really close knit group, and I think it's just about the closest locker room I've experience in my time in the NFL, and I think that really shows up on the field. And you know, you see guys that really care about each other and really want to play hard for each other, and you know, get excited together and get excited about making plays together and stuff like that. And I think that people are starting to catch on to that.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, and I saw that piece that Zach Ertz had written for an ESPN. It was an ESPN article,
editorial. The Players Tribune, maybe.
Yeah. And it was just and he just sort of it was everything that that we had thought about, you know, what the locker room was like and Carson Wentz and then the defense and how the whole dog mask thing came about. And you know, I bought a dog mask about 5 minutes after the game on Saturday night, and I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were on how electric that place was on Sunday night before the game, and then. The interception return for a touchdown.
Yeah.
I had never heard that building as loud as it was at that moment.
Yeah, it was amazing, man. I can't even. I mean, I had goosebumps at certain points during the game. It was really cool. I think that was the most hype I've ever seen a Link, and that's really saying something because when you're playing on defense, you really and you play at the Link as a defensive player, you appreciate that crowd noise and the everything that goes into it. I think that's made. The Link a hard place for opposing offenses to play, just the noise and the the hostility and the way the fans are into it. I mean, I meant hostility in a positive.
No, I know what you're saying.
It's just a tough place to play, and our defense has really thrived. These last couple weeks, especially at home, just because of everything that goes into that. So hats off to the fans, and that was really an amazing atmosphere. It was really something special.
I want to remark on the fact that you guys made the Super Bowl the same year that you sat down in an interview with Paulie Shore in our studios. And I don't know if Paulie has reached out to you since, but maybe that was good luck.
Yeah, I think maybe we need to get Paulie down at Radio Row for the.
Yes, absolutely. He's clearly the weasel. Yeah,
he's the catalyst.
Hey, so Bo, going back to your hometown, how is how's the reception for you going to be? I mean, is it obviously even though you have friends and classmates and people from that era, they've grown up as Vikings fans, and here you are on a team that takes them out of contention. What's that like?
Well, I mean, it's really special for me personally, just because I've never played a game in Minnesota since I've been in the NFL. But like you're saying, I don't know. I think some people might be a little bitter just because. we beat the Vikings in the fashion we did at our place, at the Link, to go play the Super Bowl back, in Minnesota. So I think some people in Minnesota might be a little upset at me right now, but I don't really care.
No one wants the Patriots
but listen,
to win.
It's hard to cheer for the team that just beat you.
Yeah.
Even if one of your really good friends is on that team, but I think you will.
Some people in Minnesota are... they're pretty good people.
Bo, there's a Facebook page right now. They're trying to get people together to throw things at Eagles fans that are there for the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Listen, there's stuff like that all the time, sure. I think, at games. I don't think that's because there's the enemy of my enemy. Isn't that the case? So,
yeah.
I mean, regardless.
But when you're trying to coordinate, via Facebook page, some sort of a, mob gathering to toss.
Yeah. I always think
I prefer spontaneous throwing.
Thank you.
I think that you should cheer for the team that beat your team, because if they can't beat the next team, then you got beaten by the team that wasn't even good enough to go the distance. But
I can understand the, I don't know. Really? Yeah, that's a little beyond me. I don't know.
Whatever it is, it's going to be great. I have to ask you your poodle mask, astonishingly good. Where did you get that?
I just got that off of Amazon. No, the whole dog masking was a lot of fun. That was all Chris Long and Lane Johnson and I basically just hopped on board because I thought it was really cool. Deal, but yeah, the poodle mask was, it had like long blonde hair. It was really creepy.
You look like a canine version of Fabio.
Yeah, they're not that easy to see out of, though, are they?
Canine Fabio.
I love it.
Yeah, but it was a lot of fun.
That's cool, man. Well, everybody's riding the wave. It's awesome. So take whatever time you need to soak it in, and then obviously you got work to do, but we just want to wish you the best, man.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks a lot. It's been really fun, but like I was saying, we still got one more game to go, so we're getting back to work.
All right, and we'll check in with you after that, all right?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
You bet, man. All right, good luck. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Bo Allen.
What a good guy.
He's awesome.
Good guy, conversational.
Happy to have him as a friend. That's very, very
cool. Yeah. And you can say that about a number of players. Again, this group of guys... you know, more than I can remember. And there have been some wonderful people associated with the team that we've had good relationships with.
There's also been some inflated egos throughout the years.
Exactly.
And so far, we haven't seen anybody like that we've encountered. And that's pretty damn special when you got when you have a group of guys and it doesn't appear that anybody thinks that they're above the rest. That's pretty solid, you know, and especially when they're as talented as they have proven to be.
There's no Terrell Owens storyline this year.
Exactly right. Who I was thinking.
You know,
about.
And the last time the Eagles were in the Super Bowl, that was such a distraction and it was so crazy, and we were clamoring for that guy to play.
Yep.
That storyline not happening this year.
All right, so listen, we're going to have more conversations like that as we're on the road to the Super Bowl officially now on a different side of it than the rest of us are feeling. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Brent Celek to our show. This morning.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, Brent?
I'm doing great.
You got to be doing great, man. Well, first off, congratulations in the continuing step towards a championship. You know, I know, is it weird hearing people say congratulations when you know you got one more to go?
Yeah, I mean, it still feels good.
Yeah.
But honestly, today starts, preparation for the Patriots.
Yeah.
So I'm getting over it, and we really got to win this next one, man. This is the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Every interview I've seen with you and your whole demeanor and the team's demeanor is each step one at a time, getting there, moving forward, not letting anything get you too riled, and just keeping everything sort of mitigated. And that's really served you guys well.
Yeah, I think that's what you got to do in the NFL. You can't look past anybody in this league, and you got to take it one game at a time. And I think that's what we've done all season. No matter what adversity we faced, we've just taken it one game at a time. And now we're sitting here. We're sitting where we want to be, and we got one game against the best to be world champions. So, listen. I know everyone in this locker room is excited.
Brent, you're the longest tenured athlete, professional athlete in Philadelphia, and I want to know how much of your success and you know, your stay in Philadelphia, do you credit directly to our show and the friendship that you've had with us over the years?
I mean, I have to give, you guys a good portion of that.
I thought so. We didn't want to say.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I don't want
90%.
90%, wow. I think, okay. Is.
Oh, nice. I was happy with 10 to 15.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen, we were there that morning when you debuted your sauce for that weekend. So, you know, we go way back.
Well, listen, I'm gonna be down at Keenan's more often.
You know, it's funny because as you watch the trajectory of that, and over that time that you've been here in Philadelphia, to be at this point now, you've got to allow yourself to enjoy it, because if not now, when? You know, I mean, this is the time. So you almost have to run two tabs where you're going to prepare for the game itself, but you're also going to enjoy the ride as it's happening. Are you able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. You know, as soon as the game was over, I think we had some fun. Honestly, though, you can only enjoy it for 2 days.
Just 2 days,
The thing is, we win this Super Bowl, we can enjoy this forever.
Yes, right. Yeah, that's the way to think about it.
We got to work for 2 weeks to win this thing, and then we'll be partying everywhere.
You know, you mentioned celebrating for the rest of your life. You know, this is one of those things that you're coming up to that will be one of the identifying features of you for the rest of your life. This isn't just... Yeah. Another game. It isn't just the fact that you're an NFL player, but once you get that title of champion, a Super Bowl champion, it's something you hang your hat on for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah.
In this city, I mean, you know, that happens forever. Wherever you go, you'll never have to pay for another hoagie. Ever. Ever.
I mean, somebody like Brent doesn't have to pay for another hoagie in the city of Philadelphia regardless.
I know, yeah.
Hey, Brent, can you talk about how this locker room is different and similar over your, I don't even know, 10, 11 years in the NFL?
Yeah, I think the crazy thing about this locker room is when we face adversity, you know, when guys have gone down, there hasn't been that feeling of, oh, man, this is, you know, oh, this just happened again. Oh, you know, are we going to be able to win? Are we going to be able to do this? Guys were just like, let's go. It was the attitude of all the guys on the team. Like, it doesn't matter. And especially after Carson went down. I mean, shoot, man, we lost Jason Peters, Jordan Hicks, Maragos.
Darren Sproles.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And we're still standing here. So I just think it just shows the type of guys that we got in that locker room. And we're still carrying the spirit of those guys that we've lost along the way. And, you know, we want to do it for those guys, man.
Is it the most fun? Is this the most fun you've ever had?
Oh, hands down.
Yeah?
Hands down. Oh, yeah.
Brent, we've been talking a lot about superstitions and, you know, people wearing, you know, green or a certain shirt or not doing this or, you know, doing something every single day, whatever it might be. Do you guys have any in the locker room or do you specifically have anything that you have to do on game day?
No, but I think our team likes wearing green jerseys.
That's the key.
Interesting.
Wear green. I love it.
Hey, Brent, you said, you said, you know, you get a couple of days to really enjoy it, and then it's back to work. We had Bo on yesterday, Bo Allen, and he had said that he spent Monday watching videos of the fans' reactions and, you know, stuff like that. You've been watching some of this stuff, people out in the street and all that?
Oh, yeah, I saw some of that stuff. And by the way, that was funny. But the funniest, the funniest one is when the guy is, like, panning and you see, like, the guy sitting on top of, like, a SUV.
Yes.
And so the guy that has the eagle mask on.
He's just sitting like that. Yeah, sitting on top of the SUV driving by.
I haven't seen this
one. No, yeah. It was, it's been shown 100 times.
I missed that altogether.
Yeah, yeah, he just casually gets him in the shot. Oh, there's a guy.
Hey. I was just like, all right, this is Philly in a nutshell. Right?
Hey, Brent, I know that you guys are one team united. However, your preparation and, you know, we just had Bo Allen on the other day, and his preparation are completely different. You're playing two different teams. You're playing against the Patriots defense, and Bo is playing against the Patriots offense. Do you think either one of you guys, offense or defense, is going to have a tougher time in preparing for this game?
I mean, I think it's going to be tough for everybody because, I mean, they're a great defense. I know they may not have some of the big-name players like they do, you know, on offense, but they're still a great defense, and I mean, look at the success they've had, not only this year, but just over the years. So we're going to have to do a great job. And I know they're going to have wrinkles for us. So we're going to have to be on our stuff.
You know, we're watching the video right now that we were just talking about, the guys.
The SUV.
Oh,
that's great.
In the game when Bo sort of, you know, stepped up and had your back where there was a little bit of a ruckus. And, yeah. You know, you're... As a fan, you look at that, and that I find that very touching in a way because you guys have each other's backs. Talking about that vibe in the locker room where there it has always been, you know, an all-for-one, one-for-all attitude. And I think, and I said, and I've said this a couple of times, this iteration, this Eagles team here is just a bunch of good guys. Obviously, you're in that pack. And it's a team that the city, and it seems to be right now, the nation is getting behind to support in the Super Bowl. Does that feeling permeate down to you as well?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Listen, that feeling that we have in the locker room, that feeling is real. And, you know, it's been real the whole season. And, listen, we're lucky to be sitting in this game. You know, we've worked our butts off to get here. But the fans and home field advantage that we've had throughout the playoffs has been a big part of that. So,
yeah.
Like, I can't thank these fans enough for all the support that they've given us because that does come down to us, and we do feed off of that. We feel it.
That's
every
great.
Single time we're in the link.
Yeah.
So. Hey,
Brent, it's your first Super Bowl, obviously. How many people have hit you up for tickets?
Oh, my gosh. It hasn't been too bad. It's just, honestly, after that game, all the text messages, it took me 2 days to get back to everybody.
Sure, yeah.
I believe it.
But I'm okay on the tickets. I'm
you're okay. Right. You're going right. to go. We know people if you have any trouble.
I don't have a problem telling people no. I'm 11 years in. I've done
it. Oh, man. I love it. All right, well... Get to work. Do what you got to do, man. We're loving it, and we're really happy for you guys in particular. We're thrilled for the city, but I'm really happy for you guys, the guys who have made it happen, the workers,
yeah,
in it right there in the trenches. So we wish you luck, Brent. Thanks for coming on this morning,
thanks,
buddy.
Guys.
You bet.
We got one more to go.
One more to go. Yes.
Yeah. All right, Brent Celek, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that guy.
Jesus. Can you? No, I won't even say it.
No. Imagine what would happen. No.
Don't. No.
Okay.
All right, what's next? Go to the next.
All right, so we need to take a break. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
We're happy they did call. We're checking in with people in and out the area that are huge fans that we haven't heard from yet, especially those that are on the notable level. We have Adam McKay on a little while, transplant, obviously, diehard Eagles fan. He's going to check in. And let's welcome our friend, Mr. M. Night Shyamalan, to the program this morning. Hey, Knight.
How are you?
We're doing great, man. We wanted to get your take. We know that, you know, you're diehard about the Sixers, but you're all Philadelphia, and you've... And in fact, I think on our show before, didn't Knight say something about the...
He did. We might have audio of it. He talked to us back in October or September and said some prophetic words.
Really?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Really? What'd I say?
Well, we're looking for the audio.
I don't have it.
Okay. Well, you said we're going to the Super Bowl.
You made a joke that it was October and you were already saying, hey, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's our normal pattern, right? In October, we're always like, we're going to the Super Bowl. We're playing so great. We're always number one in October. And then it stayed true this time. So it's very exciting.
Well, you have the kind of gravitas, I think. we just automatically assume there's some sort of otherworldly power that you have where you could divine that. But following you on Twitter, I love all your things that you've been posting concerning that. And you posted a couple of lists of Super Bowl, Eagles Super Bowl memories. Do you remember some of the ones you posted, and can you relay them to us?
Yeah, well, the first one was when there's not that many. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. But it's telling, but that's okay.
That's okay, yeah. So the one was when we went with Jaworski, and I was a kid, and I was in my pajamas. It was, you know, the Super Bowl goes late for a little kid.
Yeah.
And we lost, and I was like, how could we lose? No wild card has ever won. The Oakland Raiders won, and I was like so upset. I was like, this is not right. No, that's not right. I was crying, and my dad was upset, and I was like, you know, I had to go to bed. It was just awful. You know, that reminded me as I was waiting on the phone for you guys, like, you know, watching the Eagles games as a kid, and if it didn't go well on a Sunday, and then you have to do homework after that on the Sunday. It's just awful.
Yes. It's a nightmare.
It's the worst. You just feel like I don't have anything left in me. That's it. I'm done. You know, and
it's as close to like, you know, going on a bender that a kid can get.
Exactly. This is awful.
If you need me, I'm going to be in my room with Tootsie Rolls.
My parents' house has this kind of slanted roof, like a really kind of gentle, steeped roof. So I used to go outside and take the football and just throw the football on the roof, and then it would roll down back to me. And that was my way of like dealing with my frustration.
You would go out and have a football toss with yourself.
It's therapeutic. I didn't know I was doing that as a kid, but that was like I was calming down outside. But the second memory that I was tweeting about was when we went to play Tom last time in Jacksonville, and I went to the Super Bowl then, and what an awful... I was like screaming. I'm like, Terrell Owens is open. He's open. So what ended up happening is they had all of us. They kind of had a group of like celebrities that they were after the game, like trying to get out in a van. And so they kind of stuck us all in a van to kind of get to the airport.
Yeah.
And the van couldn't go anywhere because like the mobs of people came out, and where the route they were going to take got blocked off. So we were stuck in this van. And it just so happened that Randy Jackson from American Idol was in the van. and I had seen him as we were like earlier in the game. And, you know, I was talking smack about the Eagles, and then we got in the van, and he just is smirking, and he had his, all I remember is like, you know, it was dark in the van, and all I remember, he was in the back seat behind me, and he had his blinged out watch over the edge of the seat, and this is like diamond studded watch like glaring at me, and I was like, and he just was chuckling and making fun of this or that happened, and just mocking us in Philly, and I was like, get me out of this van.
So he was razzing you. If it gives you any comfort, I understand he has exceptionally high cholesterol levels.
It takes the sting out of that particular memory. That's good.
All right, and then the third memory.
Well, the third memory was a prediction.
Yeah.
We are going to beat the greatest football player of all time and start a dynasty, which I actually think is...
Yes. I love that.
By the way, we found this audio clip.
All right.
I can play. This is Knight in October, so listen, I haven't heard this yet. Here we go.
I mean, I'm a Philly boy. I mean, you know, I'm a classic Philly boy. You know, it's October. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yes, we are. There it is. Did you hear it? Pete said it. We have no recordings of Nostradamus, but we do have this.
That is incredible. Yeah. Y'all give me chills here.
Knight, I was fortunate enough to be at the NFC Championship game, and from what I understand, you were at that game as well. Because there's a guy named George who sits up with my brother, and he has a picture. He's like, yo, M. Night Shyamalan was at our tailgate. I said, no way. I said, where were you tailgating? He said, you know, something. And then he shows me a picture that he had taken with you. And I'm looking at the picture. I go, George, that's not M. Night Shyamalan. That's just some Indian dude. And he's like, no, it is. And then he pulls up a picture of you that he got off of Google. And I go, yes, that's M. Night Shyamalan. That's not the guy you had your picture taken with. And he started cracking up. Because he said, I put it on Facebook.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
We have a picture here in the studio.
I'm having so many mixed emotions.
I know.
Right?
Well, you know what? He was embarrassed. Gandhi, who was with him, was embarrassed as well.
I was cracking up. I go, dude, you're so racist.
Please tell me the guy was exceptionally good looking.
Yes. He actually is a fairly dapper
guy.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that helps. That helps the sting of the racism.
So you didn't want to make an attempt to go to the game this weekend night? You got stuff going on?
Oh, I'm going.
Oh, you are going. Wow. Wow. Well, God bless you, sir.
When should I meet you at the airport?
Oh, I'm going. Definitely, I'm going. I'll be there for my third memory here.
Yes, yes. We're counting on you. We just had a very inspirational assessment of what we can look forward to from Vaisik Ahema, and he put it all in perspective, and we really like it. And so is the whole family going? I assume the whole family's going, correct?
Well, no, you know, football's not my wife's thing. And,
okay.
You know, I get kind of really into it, and, you know, I'm not really listening, and my attention is not on, you know, our relationship at that moment.
And wives don't like that, do they?
No, it's not, yeah, it's not particular, you know, then the whole do you love me more than the game starts to come up, and it's all very, you know.
Yes.
You know, it's a whole thing. It's always been that way since we were dating. So it's always been that way. And she finds it a little, you know, like, you know, barbaric a little bit. But she likes to watch the end of the games. If I'm like, come here, watch this. You won't believe this. Or I'll say, this is the longest field goal that's ever been kicked ever in humanity. Are you looking at this? And she's like, that's great. They
yeah. No, I hear you. You know, in this way, and you as a master storyteller, and you know, you look at life and you see these little dramas and stories. This team, for me, and I think you might have said something. Somebody, there's just we've been saying these are very honorable, good guys. This is a good team made up of good, charitable guys. We had a good chance to know them and get to know them throughout the year, and just the whole story, like with Foles and facing adversity. I know there are people who put out raging fires and forests, and you know, we get the difference between heroes and heroes.
Yeah.
But on an inspirational level, the story is such a good one, and I'm sure that's not lost on you either.
No, actually, you know, I on a serious note, for our teams, and you know, in particular the Sixers and the Eagles, I really feel they're representing our city the way it should be right now. And I don't mean that in a kind of like they're winning. I mean that they're resilient, good guys. That's our city now. You know, the old version of our city is kind of like the country would make fun of us because we were like, you know, throwing snowballs at Santa and all that stuff. And look, we still have that rough side of us, but we're an amazing city in every aspect. You can, as you know, I'm the biggest Philly fan of all time, and these teams are really representing us with that kind of resilience and fortitude. And I actually, during the season, I was tweeting about the Eagles saying, I think this is the best Eagles team ever, at least in my lifetime, that I've ever seen play, because they have that resilience, that ability to, they're just a complete team. I mean, honestly, they're a bunch of great guys that are approaching it well, and they're taking care of each other, which is what our city really is at its best. And I genuinely believe that we have the better team, and mm-hmm. And Tom may be Tom, but we have the better team, and if Foles plays the way he played last week, we're gonna be having a lot of parades here.
Man, it's exciting.
It is
absolutely exciting. Listen, Knight, while we had you on, I also wanted to ask about Glass. You're in post production, and you're really, and in fact, I believe you had a screening recently, correct, of a portion of the film?
Yeah, I went to L.A. to show the two studios. Actually, it's being released domestically by Universal and internationally by Disney, because Unbreakable was made for Disney and Split was made for Universal. So it's really unusual to make a sequel to two different movies from two different studios. Mm. It's actually never happened, so it's a beautiful kind of relationship. So I showed both the studios about 12 minutes of the movie. I just showed them different scenes that I had just to get them, you know, pumped up and excited. And it was really a wonderful experience to go out there and show it to them. It was no sound effects, no music, nothing, just four scenes in their kind of raw state. And I was just really excited about them. And they got really, really excited.
You know, this at certain points, this was always sort of a plan of yours. That was at least my perception. Not only not have this thing hanging over you and constantly be asked about it, but delivering incredibly good films along the way. And this sheer zeal and joy at the end of Split, that, you know, where I almost had a full-blown aneurysm, was just fantastic. So for you to be able to do that as an artist has to be incredibly fulfilling.
It is. It's kind of, it feels a little bit like a bookend to this part of my career as we were making it. It felt like, you know, I was seeing so many characters from different movies together on the set and watching them in costume for the first time. I mean, the first time, you know, Bruce got in that poncho from Unbreakable, like, everybody kind of gasped. He, like, turned around on camera and looked at the camera, and everybody gasped.
Ah, I love it.
It was really amazing. The first time Sam got in his costume of Mr. Glass, I mean, people, like, got silent. It was, we had so much craziness on our set because we were shooting, actually, we shot a bunch of it in Allentown, and there were paparazzi everywhere, like, chasing us down, shooting from across the street, so we had to put all these things up to block the views, and then they sent drones in, like, just drones to, like, photograph us, and, like, we had, like, securities chasing the people, because we know that the guys controlling the drone is somewhere nearby, so everyone, that like, security starts sprinting everywhere in every direction, so... We were, you know, so we'd hide Sam and hide Bruce and hide James, and it was just, it was fun, but it shows how much everybody's excited.
I'm watching, we're members of SAG, so we get all these advanced screener copies of films to take in before the award ceremonies come along, and of course that leads into the other, we're in the height of the season right now. I can't help but feel that that because of the timing of the release of Split, that you boy missed out on surefire nominations and possibly awards. But I think timing-wise of when the movie was released, it kind of got out of the mind of people. Is Glass not going to have that same issue? You're going to release it later on this year?
It's the same date, pretty much.
Really?
Yeah, we're releasing it on MLK weekend, so it's an amazing weekend for the movies. You know, American Sniper went wide on that weekend, and so it's a weekend we can legally dominate. It's after, you know, basically you're judging the movement of how movies are released. You know, you have the blockbusters in the summer, then you kind of have the Academy movies through the fall, and then for us to be this extremely high-quality blockbuster that comes out in at the top of the year, it worked for us with Split. And basically, to what you're saying, we were cognizant of the decision we were making, you know, with Split. We were aware if we had released it in December, we might have gotten some attention, but we released it in January, and no film has ever been nominated in January. And so we were aware of what we were doing. It's just a long time because the voters, it feels like the previous year.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Don't screw with the winning formula. What happens is a lot of times when you have this massive onslaught of films, it's easy for a movie to get lost in the sauce. I totally think it's the right way to go to put it in an area where you can stand out and let people really absorb it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, being acknowledged and all that stuff is wonderful. But our primary job is to get it to the audience in the best way possible. And January is a great date for us. And, you know, I describe it as having the most oxygen. So wherever the film can have the most oxygen to breathe is where it's going to do the best. And so that's the decision, man. You know, MLK weekend.
Okay, Knight. Getting back to this weekend, upcoming. Yeah. You know, there's a real strong community of Philly actors, directors, artists based in Los Angeles. Have you made friends with people outside of Philly who are also big Eagles fans or Sixers fans?
You know, that if I come across them, I haven't gone to, like, the meetings, like the Philly and L.A. meetings. I haven't gone. In fact, I've never even been invited.
So it's like a much more benign AA meeting.
Well, they have bars.
Whenever there's an actor that's a Philly fan, you know, like, you know, Bradley Cooper and stuff, anytime I come across a Philly guy, then, you know, that's immediately what we start talking about is like, oh, my God, I can't believe we got that. you know, and Carson's the real thing. And we just start talking immediately about all things related to Philly.
Listen, I hate to do this, but these guys are going to keep talking to you tonight, but I have to be at the Montgomery County Courthouse. I'm sitting on a jury. It's not done yet, and I have to leave right now or I'm not going to make it for my case. So.
And you didn't just go in and when they interviewed you just say something like, you know, Satan will guide me.
They don't let you do that anymore.
No.
You have to hold these cards up and answer questions that pertain to you.
It's all about inclusion night, and the devil worshiper is welcome in the jury pool.
You guys continue on. Absolutely. I'm going to go do my civic duty.
We're just going to let Preston take off, and we have one or two more little issues to talk about. I wanted to ask you tonight, because on your Twitter page, you have your Mount Rushmore of Kubrick, which it's all mine. We basically are the same people, but Kubrick, Kurosawa, Hitchcock, and Ray. Which Ray are we talking about?
Sajit's Ray. He's the Indian director.
Oh, okay.
You were thinking Nicholas Ray, right?
No, yeah, actually, there was a couple of Rays that came to mind. I didn't know if you were going with like Ray Charles or music or Sugar Ray, the band. I thought, wow, that's a weird choice. But I am familiar. Of all of the directors, which one would you say most influences your approach to film?
I mean, probably, you know, a mixture of Hitchcock and Kubrick.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy that very disturbing center framed quiet thing that Kubrick does, and the wide angle lenses that he does, and then of course the kind of character driven point of view stuff that Hitchcock does, and his. And tendencies towards suspense in all formats. So I, you know, those are the two. You know, but I grew up watching Spielberg and Lucas do their thing. You know, but my storytelling styles are kind of, you know, learned from the school of those two.
I see a lot of it goes like Kurosawa in the beginning of by the way, anyone listening, if you've never checked out Akira Kurosawa, you have to. He's considered one of the absolute legends. In fact, Spielberg cites him all the time, and all the probably people that you love. But at the beginning of Kagamusha, there's like a 20-minute static shot that is so cool. But it's just an amazing film, and these guys are sort of unsung heroes. And he did Hidden Fortress, which was basically co-opted for Star Wars, correct?
Star Wars, yeah. It's basically Star Wars.
yeah, in so many ways. Well, listen, it's so great that you called in. Your zeal is tangible for this whole day. We hope you have an awesome time. We are going to say a victorious Sunday this week, and then afterwards we may hit you up again for your post-game assessment.
I'll tell you all the craziness from Minneapolis and how it went down.
Absolutely. And again, have a great time. I don't know who you're hooking up with out there. Or you may be maybe your arms flail so much that you have to sit by yourself. But whatever you do, have a great time, and thanks so much for checking in today night.
All right, guys. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. M. Night Shyamalan, everybody. Awesome. What a great guy.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. I mean, we could have talked to him longer, but we got to pay the bills.
Yeah, and Preston has to go, you know, which is amazing with his virulent drug habit that they're still keeping him on. I'm trying, Preston. Yeah. I'm trying.
One more year that we got to wait for Glass, though, man. That's crazy.
I know. You know what, though? With him, it always proves worth the wait.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
This summer. Surprise! Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
Big things in the world of the Goldbergs. You know, it passed up Modern Family, making it the number one comedy of the night at ABC.
Wow.
Yeah. It's such a great show.
It is great. And then syndication now. I watch it constantly. It's aging like the proverbial fine wine.
So we obviously were getting notables from Philadelphia who are transplants, who are still excited about the fact that our team is going to the Super Bowl this weekend. So we thought we'd get Adam on. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Goldberg.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam.
What's going on?
Hey, man.
I was listening to your riveting conversation about toast.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I ended it.
No, you know, we're in the, obviously, as we're gearing up for the Super Bowl and everything, food is obviously a major aspect of the Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
And so we've been sort of in that realm.
Understandable.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys make so many there are so many great references to the Philadelphia teams on the Goldbergs. Growing up, how deep were you guys entrenched in Philly sports, Adam?
Well, for me, my team was the Flyers.
Yep.
That's mostly because my dad forced me to play hockey. I did an episode about it when I the highlight of my career was scoring on my own goal.
It was great. And then the tribute to Mr. Snyder was wonderful as well.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But for Barry, my brother Barry, I mean, he is just so diehard. I mean, he arranged his whole wedding around an Eagles game.
Wow. Yeah.
He lives out of state now and drives 5 hours every Sunday to go to a game. That's each way, by the way.
So jeez.
He drives 10 hours, and his dream was to have season tickets. So that's he is hardcore. I think, for me, I'm just – like, because your older brother is obsessive,
yeah.
I would constantly pester him during games because it's like he would get most riled up.
Yes.
In my house, between him and my dad, I mean, it would get dark when they would lose. I mean, legitimately dark.
Yeah. Your brother and myself are not very
dissimilar.
Dissimilar.
Yeah.
I got married and I didn't leave for my honeymoon until Monday so I could watch the Eagles game on Sunday. By the way, they lost to the Cowboys that day. But my wife had, on Facebook, she had sent me a scene from the Goldbergs, which is, it's like just another page out of my life, where it's your dad and your brother getting ready for the Eagles game, sitting down on the couch. Your mom comes over. They don't let her on the living room floor because anytime she touches the living room floor, they lose. And once they've established where they're sitting, they're not allowed to get up. I don't know how true to life that was.
Oh, it's absolutely true. I mean, last weekend, Barry got the flu.
Right? Yes.
About 2 weeks ago, Barry got the flu, and he didn't make it to the last game. And he was, I mean, that's how sick he was. He, was just floored with this flu. And because of that, I knew they would win because, it's always risky. He just has that attitude where if something happens and he can't go, of course they're going to win. So the same thing is going for the Super Bowl this weekend. He's still not 100%. So it's a good sign. It is a good sign. If he won't be there, he will complain for the rest of his life. Of course, when I'm not there,
yeah. Yes. Well, the energy, as you imagine, you obviously the show is just a love letter to the area and the people and the teams. But we've talked to people, David Boreanaz on,
and Night
Shyamalan. So people from the area who are just embracing it. And where it seems wherever you are, you never lose this. And it's funny, we're hearing from a number of people, Adam, that while they maybe won't make the game, they really seem committed to making the parade. If everything goes according to Hoyle, we're going to say it will. That the parade is actually more exciting a proposition for them. Would you be on board with something like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure. Of course. I mean, that's one that's – hopefully it's more than once in a lifetime.
But, yeah, and Barry can make that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I mean,
Barry still complains in 1980 my dad wouldn't take him to the Phillies game.
Yeah.
I mean complains. Like, it's something that comes up at least once a week, every week in his life. So if he can't make it to the game, he would for sure go to that, as would I. And what's been really cool is because the show's in syndication now and people are discovering it and it seems to be doing well, all of the Philly sports teams have been amazing with the show. And
yeah.
We had the Eagles out when they were out in L.A. this year. We had the president, Don, came to the set and we shot a whole segment with Merrill and, announcing. And my brother's hero growing up was Mike Quick, who acts in the show as the assistant coach and is legitimately, I'm not just saying this, phenomenal. Like, all of the writers were like, this guy's great. We should have him as a cast member on the show.
Oh, that's so cool.
Um,
So, you know, that was my brother's hero, Mike Quick. So Barry flew out for that, as did all the members of the JTP. once they were all out, then we shot a whole segment. We did the JTP Bowl. So there's a whole Eagles thing on the show this year. Unfortunately, I wish it was airing this week. It would have been amazing.
It would have been perfect. I have to tell you, I howl laughing, and I have to ask you if this is just a conceit created for the show, if this is actually the case. The Barry run... the hands flailing behind him. Is that, in fact, from reality?
So the thing with the Barry run is it absolutely is.
It is!
Yeah. You know, when there was many, many times when he would get so emotionally out of control that he would lose control of his body and he would run full speed and his arms just couldn't keep up and they would kind of flop behind him. Now, I was at a Comic-Con, and I did a Goldberg's panel, and he was in the audience, and everyone forced him to go up, and he said, "I'll say one thing, I do not do that run." That was the only thing he said in front of a crowd of like 1,000 people, which got a big laugh. But he is for sure the athlete in the family, and when he, you know, when he came out and we did the JTP Bowl, he was looking pretty good in his mid-40s, I do have to say.
I mean, Troy Gentile, is that how it's pronounced?
Gentile.
Yeah, he just nails it every time. Even for just a quick flash, you'll see the hands start to flap in the back, and I just bust out laughing. Yeah. That's one of those idiosyncratic things that just rings so true.
Sure, and I had to teach it to him during the pilot. I mean, that run was so real in my brain that I had to demonstrate on the set of the pilot on how it should be.
Adam, before I ask this question, I'm going to ask another one. Do you get tired of people saying, "Did that really happen?"
No, I don't at all. I love that people know my life in that way. It's really fun because I love talking about all those things.
Okay.
Especially what's really weird is now having kids who are, you know, old enough to watch the show. Like, I knew nothing about my dad. I even did an episode about this. I was sitting there once and we were reading in the paper about there was some kind of plane crash that went down. And my dad just said, "Oh, I was in a plane crash," and walked out of the room.
Yeah.
And I was like, "What?" And my mom's like, "Oh, not this story again." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? I heard this." I knew nothing about my dad.
So I remember that episode. Like, he goes, "Oh, yeah, Lou Reed and I used to work at a restaurant together."
What?
Yeah, that was another thing. He said he met Lou Reed. He once just kind of casually dropped it, like he played basketball against Will Chamberlain in high school. So,
casually. Like,
you know, casually, and never brought it up again. So to get any kind of information out of him about his life was impossible.
Uh-huh.
To have this thing that I could show to my kids and then they could ask, like, "Is this true?" And, you know, like, it's been really cool. It's been really cool to share that with you.
All right, so I wanted to preface this next question because I watched the episode where Barry has his incredible run of luck one day, and and he walks in, and Nintendo is the game is on. It's Zelda. And all he has to do, it's at the very end of the game, all he had to do was just move Link forward a little bit, and the game was over. And because you had paused it, you went to go use the restroom or something like that, and you wanted to get ready for the big finale. Did that really happen?
That did not happen.
Okay. I would have killed him.
That would have been grounds for murder.
Unforgivable.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
No, I spent my entire, I think, eighth grade year playing that game.
Yeah.
So that was a full wasted year, or a great year. I guess you could say it was a great year.
It was a great year.
And we were talking about, in that scene, like, what's the worst thing that Barry could have done to me as a kid? And I'm like, he could have won Zelda for me after I put in all that time.
All right.
Adam, we had Lou Schneider in the studio a year or so ago, and I wanted to commend him and you because the Hooters episode aired 2 weeks ago, I guess, and it was phenomenal, and he directed it, and it was just, they're all loving homages to Philadelphia, but that one, for whatever reason, the pronunciation of water and the love for the Hooters really was really well done.
Thank you. And the weird thing that I discovered, which I wish I knew, was I've had so many people tweet me saying they played my prom.
Yes.
And I didn't know that was a thing. They would do these radio contests where the Hooters could come and play your prom. So I might have them back to do that.
Well, they did it.
Amazing.
That was a huge contest for WMMR. It's actually the biggest contest that I believe that the station has ever done. And it was a postcard-driven contest.
Yeah.
So people would have to mail postcards into the radio station and say, "Come have the Hooters play my prom." And there was a separate mail room set up for that contest.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It was,
you should have told me.
I love how it was directed to keeping you were getting up close enough where you could see it was them, but not so close that you could see it was them now. So it was perfectly done.
We had a line in there, which was, these guys look a lot older in person. And I took it out at the last minute because I wanted to make it, you know, I didn't want to wink at the audience that much.
But yeah.
They were amazing. They, you know, they were so excited to do it. They, since season one, they were just, you know, they would just contact the show just about episodes. Like, oh, we love that. You know, they really were into the show. So it was a long time coming. And really because of Twitter and Facebook, like fans going there and saying like, I'm from Philly and this is something you have to do. I mean, we, the whole show, we all go and we read that stuff. So once you have a lot of people saying one thing, you know, something we're doing this year is the quest for what's the best cheesesteak. Like,
yeah.
We haven't done that yet, which is crazy. And like every day someone tweets me like, what's the best one? So we're doing that episode. So
excellent. We love that.
Those make the show, you know?
Hey, you know, like, so there are so many shows out there that are just for adults and then so many shows that are just for kids. And this is a show that I feel like is geared towards adults, but great for kids. My kids love the show. So when you were developing this, did you have any of that stuff in mind of like, okay, I want this to run at 8 o'clock at night. So, you know, we can get the kids before they go to bed and they can enjoy it with their parents.
Actually the opposite. It was originally for Fox and just by, you know, the tone of that network, it has to be more adult. And so when I was developing it for Fox, it was going to be an R-rated, like, expose of having a crazy family.
Really?
And then it moved over to ABC, who really wanted it to match it up with, like, Modern Family in the middle. So that first season, which I'm rewatching now with my kids, it's pretty dirty. Like, there's stuff where there's episodes where we did an episode about having scrambled porn in the 80s and how you would prepare.
It was great. And by the way, the cable box was 100% authentic.
Yeah.
It was,
for sure.
Yeah, magnificent.
So, you know, I would never have done that now. I didn't know. I really didn't know what it was going to become. I didn't know it was going to be a show that kids even watched. So once some of the writers on the show were going, you know, my kids really like this. We got those numbers back that it was the number one co-viewed show among parents and their kids. Around episode 12, I completely... Like, the rule in the room is, look, we're comedy writers. We think of dirty stuff every second.
Yeah.
So, like, the rule is, if you're watching with your kids, like, are you going to be embarrassed? And we have everyone is a parent in our room.
But it never feels neutered because of that. I mean, it's right. Always sharp regardless. So I have to ask you this Sunday, what are your plans? Are you going to, are you doing a party at home? Are you doing a party at all? What do you plan to do for the game?
Well, when the Eagles aren't in the Super Bowl, I usually go to Disneyland because it's less crowded.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll call my brother and he'll yell at me for being at Disneyland in the Super Bowl. Call me a nerd. This year we're I'm going to a big party, friends from Philly, and you know, we're just trying to celebrate out here.
All right. LA.
And okay. And if that parade is happening, you know, I'm getting my tickets.
You, right. If you're back for the parade, you are welcome. You come by for a visit. We'd love to see you.
Awesome.
And one last thing, Adam, before this show wraps up, you got to give MMR some love on that program, man.
Will do.
We're celebrating our 50th birthday this year, so.
Love it.
Excellent.
We'll give you my word.
Adam, right, cool. You're the best. We love the show. Thanks for coming on and go Eagles, all right?
All right. See you guys. Go
appreciate
Eagles.
It. All right, Adam Goldberg.
Obviously, the excitement is just overwhelming, but we're thrilled, and we are super thrilled to have this next gentleman on with us. Of course, he is a favorite son of Philadelphia. We're talking Academy Award winner for The Big Short. We're talking credits, some of our favorite stuff, from SNL to Anchorman to Step Brothers, Talladega Nights, The Other Guys, and he has a new show on Fox that I love called L.A. to Vegas. He is he's one of our absolute favorites, Adam McKay, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah! Adam, are you there?
Hello, hello, I am. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, our pleasure. Thanks so much for checking in. We've been kind of taking a different tact with all this the pandemonium that's going on in light of the Super Bowl and the Eagles. And we're just getting some of our favorite people, whether they're local or you know, across the country, as you are, to just chime in. We just talked to M. Night Shyamalan a little while ago, who's absolutely off the charts excited. He's going out to the game. What are your plans for the game?
You know, we're going to do a get-together here at the house. We're having a bunch of friends over, going to do some cooking. I got a couple Philly friends out here in L.A., and yeah, we're gonna do a traditional tailgating, only not in a parking lot.
Yeah, it's our understanding from a lot of people, and any one of us who happens to get out there periodically, that there is a fairly significant Philadelphia contingent out there that gets together. You know, at various I guess there's a couple of sports bars that cater to transplants from Philadelphia. Do you go to any of those? Are you aware of any of those?
God, no. You know, I do know that there's sports bars out here for kind of every town you can imagine.
Yeah.
Like a Pittsburgh bar. There's a Chicago bar. I haven't hit the Philly bar. I absolutely should. There's a cheesesteak place out here, so I'm guessing they're going to have a party going on.
Now, is the cheesesteak worth a damn? Because sometimes what is perceived as cheesesteaks out of state really, really don't hit the mark.
It is. I would definitely say it's worth a damn. It's not, you know, in Philly, it would be just your average kind of cheesesteak. Out
right.
here, of course, it's like, you know, it's pure gold. But,
it's like currency.
Do you know if the owner of the place is a Philly transplant? Because usually if that's the case, they're going to at least be close.
Yes. Yes, they are Philly transplants, and they are pretty close. Yeah, they do a nice job. They do a nice job. So we'll get cheesesteaks on Sunday. We'll do the, you know, do the whole nine yards, hang out, bunch of friends coming over, a couple of them from Philly. And, you know, if they win this, here's the thing. I think if the Eagles win the Super Bowl and the Sixers even get an 8th seed playoff spot, Philadelphia should have a naked day.
Oh. A fully naked day.
Like
literally, this is why Adam McKay should be mayor. But anyway, I think that'd be wonderful because you would really see the whole human drama play out in the city.
It would bring the city closer. It really would.
Well, you know, honestly, with this is a coiled spring basically here. Wait, this has been a long time coming, and we're saying victory. The subsequent parade would be something that I don't know if I can wrap my mind around what that would be like.
It would be like, I can't even imagine, Mummer's Parade mixed with the end of the movie Independence Day. It's going to be insane, man.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one of the craziest things I've seen. And then on top of it, to have a fun Sixers team going.
Yes.
Like, it's pretty cool. It's pretty darn cool. I mean, man, I almost feel like I got to fly out for the parade if that happens.
That's a consensus that a lot of people say, regardless, the parade is something you'd have to just to see it. Because the Phillies parade was so impressive. But you just know, as everyone says, we love all the sports. And obviously, I know you're a big basketball fan as well. But this is a football town. And so
absolutely.
The turnout would have to be that much more impressive.
I have friends from L.A. who are flying into Philly just to watch the game. Like, they're not going to the Super Bowl. They're just coming
hilarious.
Back here so that they're with their friends and family in Philadelphia.
You got to watch it on a Philly TV.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, do they still make Philcos or what was it?
Yeah. Adam, hey, it's Nick. We had Vince Papale in here yesterday, and obviously he played Mark Wahlberg in Invincible, and I know you've worked with Mark a number of times. Have you talked to him at all about the Super Bowl?
God, you know, I haven't seen Mark in a little bit. Yeah, I wonder what he's thinking. I mean, he must be getting bombarded as well, even though he's obviously a Boston guy. He kind of slipped into the Philly
Yeah.
Philly legend by playing Vince. So I'm curious. Yeah, he must be getting that.
He's actually said, he's gone on record, I think he said to USA Today, that he's predicting the Pats will win, but he said I think he took a very PC approach and said he would have no problem if the Eagles won. Obviously, he's sort of, you know, he's sort of an adopted son of Philadelphia in that way.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough game for him. That is kind of true. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, I wanted to ask you, by the way, we're all fascinated. We've been watching this physical transformation of Christian Bell, who's playing Dick Cheney in your movie that's coming out. When is Backseat coming out?
It's coming out next fall. They haven't set a date yet, but probably November, December we're looking at.
It's an amazing thing. And he's just one of these guys who, I remember when The Machinist came out, he dropped down to, you know, as much as a body could take. When you go into a movie and somebody like this, a guy who's in shape, you know, do you entertain, all right, do we go with, you know, makeup, or does he step up and say, I'll gain the weight?
You know, in his case, he's so amazing. It's not even just the physical transformation. It's like the research he does.
Yeah.
The levels of commitment, you know, it's just constantly working the character for months and months. So we knew we were going to get that from Christian. That's always what he brings. But also, of course, we had to have makeup, because in this movie, you're really tracking Chaney through decade after decade. So what we tried to find was kind of a blend. You know, he put on weight. I think he ended up putting on like 30 pounds, even a little more. And, you know, you have to be careful with that stuff, too. So we actually had a doctor working with him, because it can be dangerous to put on that much weight. And he was doing exercises. He put on the weight. Obviously, then you have to, like, shave the head for all the wig and the makeup.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, there were days on set where he would walk up to me and in the full makeup, and you'd get, like, a chill. Like, I'm like, well, what is the difference between this and the actual Dick Cheney? I mean, it's the craziest thing. And then, of course, he'd say something really funny, or he'd goof around with you. So he was kind of this hybrid Bale Cheney kind of character.
Bale Cheney, the ultimate mythical creature.
He was a centaur instead of horse and man. It was Cheney and Christian Bale. And it was the craziest thing. I mean, there's really no one like him as far as the depths he goes for these characters. And, his performance is jaw-dropping in this movie.
Adam, I wanted to ask you if you got to see Saturday Night Live this weekend. Your buddy Will Ferrell obviously was the host. And if so, if you contributed any writing to his skits that he did over the weekend.
You know, I did, of course, watch it. I thought Will was fantastic, as always. I loved the Bush one. I thought it was great. I didn't contribute anything. No, I'm in the middle of edit on this. And then we have a show coming out on HBO in June that we've been working on called Succession. So we're pretty thick in the middle of those two things. But, I mean, you know, who masters SNL like Ferrell? He's just incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And what I've always loved about you and about his work, you guys will go for it, you know, and I have to tell you, as of late, Step Brothers has now achieved that Mount Olympus status of constantly quoted Adam McKay, Will Ferrell projects, because just for that entire movie as a what the F, let's just go for it. And do you have fond memories of putting that film together?
Well, you know, it's so funny you say that, because that was our moment before we made the movie. I just looked at Ferrell. I go, you know, Ferrell, this movie's probably one of the craziest ones we'll make. And I said, are you okay with, like, getting really bad reviews or it potentially bombing? And he was like, yeah, I'm all right with that.
Because the plot conceit is so absurd that you have... There's never really any explanation as to why you have these incredibly stalled guys...
Yeah.
Who are...
We actually had a scene in the movie at one point where we had written it in the script. We never shot it, where there was a whole sequence where they were trying to explain why these guys are so stalled. And they actually put them through tests. And there was a doctor going, look, you know, there's no cognitive issues, there's no learning disabilities. As far as I can tell, they just mission.
That's what makes it so hilarious. And I have to tell you, And everyone will back this up, because I say constantly, at least 20 times a month I watch the outtakes from the film, because that just some priceless stuff. You had the opportunity to do something with Anchorman, which was which the second Anchorman, you were able to release a second version, like a 2.0 version of it, where you had different lines and different takes on that. Is that something? Are there a number of films you would like the chance to have done that with?
Well, I mean, I agree with you on Step Brothers. There's some of the funniest scenes we've ever shot were in that movie, and some of them didn't make the final cut. We tried like crazy to get them in. And one of my favorite ones of all time is when Rob Riggle has the heart attack in front of Adam Scott and tries to cover it up because Scott's his boss. And Ferrell keeps going, he's having a heart attack, and Riggle actually dies in the scene and then comes back to life without Scott really noticing. And, man, we tried to get that in the movie, and we just couldn't get it to work in that because it was in the third act.
Which amazes me, because what gets in alone is like, what the hell were they thinking with this? But it's just great. Is that... it's rare, I assume, you know, you see, like, Scorsese, you know, he had his De Niro period and his now DiCaprio and so on and so forth. And, you know, obviously on this level, you guys have a great synergy. Is he the most effortless person you've worked with?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we were talking about all the movies we've done. I don't think we've ever had a creative argument once.
Wow, that's amazing.
Pretty amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
We've had arguments about, like, our production company, like, logistics of the office layout and, you know, budgetary, like, boring stuff like that. But we've never had one creatively because, yeah, we're both almost exactly the same age. His dad's a musician. My dad's a musician. We both come from, you know, split homes, almost roughly the same age, same comedy influence, and just very similar tastes. So, and we trust each other. So if one guy's adamant about something, we'll be like, okay, yeah.
That's good. You trust each other.
Yeah.
Adam, you mentioned Adam Scott, and I'm wondering if you've seen the scene-by-scene breakdown and remake of the Bosom Buddies intro that debuted over the weekend.
No, I haven't seen that yet. I'm immediately going to go look at that.
Okay, yeah. It was for Adult Swim, and it was him and Paul Rudd, and they got a whole bunch of cameos, and they take it really seriously in a vein that I think you'll appreciate. So Adam tweeted about it over the weekend, and it sort of seems like an Adam McKay type of a vibe to it.
I'm immediately watching. I was just showing my oldest daughter this is probably from a few years ago now, the one with Paul Rudd and Jimmy Fallon.
It's great.
Doing fixes, too much time on my hands.
It's great.
I love that one.
You could fold down that YouTube hole with all that stuff. And I also want to, again, re-mention the show, because I know you're a producer on it, LA to Vegas, which I think is it's a great ensemble in this show. Was that your idea? You're listed as producer. What else are you contributing to the show?
Not my idea, no. A really great writer came to us with it. But, you know, as the production company, we help with casting, notes, edit. We have Owen Burke, one of our producers, is on it. He's amazing. You know, Dylan McDermott is a guy who we've just always thought was really funny. We had him in The Campaign.
He's hilarious.
He's hilarious. So the chance to get him in that show, we were just thrilled with. It's an amazing team around it. Yeah, really, really fun show.
Yeah, we're definitely enjoying it. We're going to look for Backseat. Obviously, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in your career with you. You mentioned the show, the 10-episode Succession on HBO, I believe it is. So we'll watch for all that. But right now, this weekend, this Sunday.
All Eagles.
Well, Eagles, Adam, and also, as you're aware, Bird Bot is the big story here in Philadelphia.
Wow, how's everyone doing with that? I mean, it must be scary. You've got to pass off the Bird Bot, right?
Like, well, it looks to be good right now. We're employing every type of high-tech device that you can purchase off of Amazon. And it is wired, and it is making the sojourn around Philadelphia. Tomorrow we set it free. We're looking for ground transportation out there. It is terrifying. It is amazing. We assume this is probably the sort of atmosphere one would have found prior to the Apollo 11 launch. So,
yeah, I mean, there's no question. It also must be thrilling. Like, there's no doubt you're making history.
Yeah,
like,
we are making history. Thank you.
Change the course of planet Earth.
That's an Academy Award winner saying that,
yes,
by the way. I'll remind you. So, Adam, thank you so much for taking the time to check in with us today. It's just great to hear from you and to hear about your zeal. And go Birds. Yes.
Go Birds.
All right. Good. Adam McKay, everybody. Just a great guy. You know, a whole list of movies that have been...
I mean, we didn't even talk about The Big Short. That was the one that you mentioned, Stevie, won the Academy Award for.
The Academy Award for Adapted Screenplay. So, but he's always been, you know, lest we forget, he came out to the Camp Out for Hunger, made a huge donation.
Yep.
And, you know, has always been there when we needed some assistance.
Well, he's the whole reason that Judd Apatow will continue to donate every single year.
I know, I know. Good group of guys. And we really cherish that relationship with all of them.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR. Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
The Bizarre File this morning brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel your summer with iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts starting at $2. America runs on Dunkin', excludes cold brew, plus applicable taxes. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Orlando Park Police said that they've arrested a convicted felon who was living in a vacant store and apparently kept a bobcat as a roommate.
Kind of cute.
Yeah, police said they had received information that a felon was in possession of firearms in a former storefront.
And I got a bobcat.
Detectives got a warrant to search the property. Police found 41-year-old Philip Guise living in the building and during a search recovered two loaded handguns and more than 100 rounds of ammunition.
I shall call you Bob.
Police also found a spotted cat larger than a typical domestic cat that was later identified as a bobcat. The animal was turned over to officers with the State Department of Natural Resources and Guise was cited for possessing a wild animal. Guise was also charged with two counts of unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon, and police said that they also recovered suspected narcotics that will be sent for processing.
So you mean the police can confiscate your bobcat anytime they want?
Anytime they want, yes.
Are we living in Russia?
I'm afraid it's illegal, sir. Wildlife biologists with the Conservancy of Southwest Florida shared a shocking python find in Collier Seminole State Forest on Thursday. An invasive Burmese python's eyes were a little bit bigger than its stomach when it decided to devour an entire white-tailed deer fawn.
Oh, my God.
Officials say
this was a mistake.
Officials say pythons have been known to kill and ingest large prey, and this was a record-breaking meal.
Oh, dear.
Officials stumbled upon the python with the massive prey inside. The biologist removed the python out of the wild into an open area, and the python was stressed, so it pushed the deer out of its mouth. Biologists believe it is the largest python-to-prey ratio documented. The python was 31.5 pounds, and the deer was 35 pounds.
That's unbelievable.
That is 111% of the python's mass.
So is what we're looking here at the bottom of this picture, Preston, is that the mouth open?
That's the
mouth. Or is that its ass?
No, that's the mouth of the snake open. And
I mean, it's a complete circle almost.
And I believe that this snake had survived somehow or another because it spit the thing out. So I don't know. I don't know why it would go for that. Speaking of eating a lot, Big Mac eating record holder Don Gorski is on pace to eat 30,000 of the McDonald's burgers by May.
Oh, jeez.
Gorski was recognized by the Guinness World Records book in 2016 when he ate his 28,788th Big Mac.
Is he eating them every day?
He eats them every day. Gorski said the record would have happened whether or not Guinness was there. He said the Big Macs are my favorite foods.
So, clearly, they're my favorite foods.
So I'm just going to keep eating them every day. Gorski typically...
I'm feeding to my bobcat.
He typically eats 14 Big Macs each week.
Wow.
Purchasing them in bulk and microwaving them at home.
I wonder if they're good on a microwave.
Over the past 44 years, Gorski has only gone a day.
He looks like John Lennon, Preston. Take a look. We just had him up on the screen there.
I was expecting a great big fat guy.
Yeah.
He's not.
I'm not a big fat guy.
He's only gone a day without eating Big Macs 8 times. Big Macs count for 90 to 95% of his diet. He says although he does not work out, he stays busy all day long due to his hyperactive personality. He does not get any special incentives from McDonald's and pays the same price for his burgers as everyone else.
I think McDonald's would kind of make him a spokesperson, right?
Totally, yeah.
The new Ronald McDonald wears John Lennon glasses.
Police in Maryland say a car blew up when a man inside lit a cigarette after spritzing himself with Axe body spray.
That sounds very volatile to begin with.
The cigarette and spray combination caused a sudden and violent expansion of the air molecules in the car, creating a boom that pushed the roof up, shattered the front window, and blew the doors open.
What? Axe body spray did this?
Yeah.
What? Wow, why are we selling this to the military?
The driver appeared unharmed and was taken to the hospital, though, to check for hearing damage. Police said that the man was...
send in an axe bomb.
...was actually taken to the burn unit with some injuries. He has not been identified as of yet, but I saw the vehicle. It looks like somebody set off a bomb inside the car.
It blows the doors off. It had to be an incredible blast.
My son asked for Axe the other day.
No way.
Is he thinking about the girls?
I don't know.
Why no way?
Because it reeks.
It smells so bad.
It's terrible.
He's a kid, though. Yeah. My boys went through an Axe body spray phase as well.
What's the other one? Bod?
I don't know.
Remember the commercial? I want your bod. I want your bod.
A curious fisherman who went to inspect why his homemade fish bomb failed to detonate at a river in Kampong Jeli yesterday.
That fish bomb don't work.
Was seriously injured when the explosive suddenly went off.
Where's my Axe body spray?
The explosion left Mad Fadil Abdullah with a crushed left palm apart from an injured jaw and right wrist. He's in a coma, apparently. Police said that the victim had hurled the homemade bomb into the river, but it didn't detonate. And out of curiosity, he went in closer to inspect the bomb. then it blew up.
Gee, that's crazy. Let me go. Let me see what the story is.
And that is what I have for you this morning in the Bizarre Files.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. Two tender filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four juicy boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, four traditional kielbasa sausages, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get, it's for $39.99. And what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com. Type Gadzooks in the search bar and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com. Type Gadzooks in the search bar. Grab your friends and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit HandAndStone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston & Steve Show podcast.
We have somebody who on the line is intimately familiar.
Oh yes,
with the link, and of course the Philadelphia Eagles, and we're so happy that he's checking in. We've been getting calls from people all around the country who are Philly transplants. M. Night Shyamalan's still here, but we talked to him and Adam McKay, and we've had David Boreanaz,
Adam Goldberg,
all these people checking in. So why not get this man on board? And we're so excited that he can, ladies and gentlemen, Philadelphia's own Kevin Hart.
Yeah! Yeah, I like it.
Oh, man.
I like it. I like the energy.
Kevin.
I like the energy. I like the positivity, guys.
It's through the roof. I mean, you feel it, you know? I mean, it's just insane.
No, insane is understatement, man. This is history. We're looking at the opportunity to really witness history, man. I'm looking at a bigger picture with this game. I'm looking at a bigger picture for Foles. I'm looking at that man's story. I'm looking at what he went through as a quarterback, from being our premier quarterback to getting to a dark moment in his life where he didn't want to play football anymore, to coming back from that dark moment, being a backup to a quarterback, Wentz, that's having one of the most amazing years in football, would have for sure been the MVP if he didn't go down. And then after going down, Foles gets an opportunity to step up to the plate and really live in a moment that he saw himself being in at one point in time as an Eagle. And to come back and win a Super Bowl after going through all of that would be the best justification.
Yeah!
Justification for that man.
No, that's exactly right.
Story.
Yeah, you are obviously a man who is believes in creative visualization, and this team has been doing it throughout the year. Whatever setback was thrown their way, they just soldiered on and moved on through it. There, we've said it time and time again. This is a collection of really good guys, and we've had a chance to get to know them throughout the year. They come in. They're always conversational. They're fun. They get out to the community. I know you respect that, that they give back. They're charity-minded. And they represent Philly gloriously. And that's why we believe they're destined for greatness as well.
Hey, man, I swear to you, you couldn't have said it any better. I love the term underdogs. You know what? I mean, I'm just big. I'm big on watching that success story and seeing people do the unexpected. You know, as much as I hate to say it, you gotta take your hat off to a guy like Tom Brady who's achieved so much history.
Yeah.
But then it gets flipped by being able to say that Foles came into the big stage and defeated the pound-for-pound best quarterback to play football and gave the Eagles their first Super Bowl championship ever. Like, there's so much into this game
that
people may not see or may not be thinking about. I tell you what's even crazier. Yo, I booked my Super Bowl suite about a month and a half, 2 months ago. I booked a show. I'm performing in Minneapolis on Friday.
Yeah.
I booked this show about 7 months ago because I said, I feel like we're going to go this year.
Yeah.
I want to be down there so that way I don't have an excuse not to go. When I booked the suite, I said, I feel like we're going to get there. It's a feeling.
Yeah.
You're not going to give me all these feelings in my Achilles tendon for nothing. You're not going to take these feelings away. We're going to punctuate these feelings by giving the Super Bowl to Philadelphia and giving our city the one thing that we haven't had, which is a parade for our Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yes. I have to ask you then. You're going to the game, the victory parade. Are you coming home for that?
Yes. What kind of question is that? I'm gonna be the daggone ornament on the front of one of the.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh my gosh, man! We just had a full conversation. Casey here, producer, is the king of all superstitions, and we had people calling in, not sure exactly what they should be doing and getting prepped for the game or not to do their part. And he had to make some rulings on what you can and can't do. Is there anything that you have that you've done this season or you've done throughout your history of being an Eagles fan to prep for a game like this?
Yeah, you know the one thing that I'm very, very, very aware of is that going into the Super Bowl where we had Donovan McNabb and T.O., you know, where we were, it should have happened.
Yeah.
You know, that should have been the year. That we were there. We were close. And I remember watching the football game with a helmet on. All right, this is a true story. I had a helmet on.
All right.
I had a helmet on the whole game. I took the helmet off at one point in time in the game, and things changed. I felt like I took myself out the game.
Yeah.
I'm considering wearing a helmet for the whole Super Bowl. I'm in the box. Now, the only thing that could be crazy is I know those cameras going to keep whip-panning and keep showing me.
Yep.
And I don't want to look like the crazy Eagles fan.
Yes, you do.
They look crazy as it is.
I will tell you this. Right now, the city would, first off, it's not like we don't, you know, cherish you and embrace everything that you do. But if you decide to do that, you're going to have an entire city that will understand why and celebrate you for eternity for doing that.
I'm telling you, it's very close. You know, I know that they're going to sell Super Bowl helmets. I'm just like, are they going to let me bring my helmet in? And what do I get written on the back of that helmet? Do I put my score prediction on the back of the helmet? Do I put my little saying on that helmet? We're trying to figure it out. But either way, I feel like a helmet needs to be worn for the entire game.
I agree.
Is the only time where I can take it off. The minute that the third quarter starts, it's got to go back on. I was in and out with the helmet, and I took myself out the game. So I blame that last Super Bowl on myself.
Mm.
If I didn't take the helmet off, we would have soldiered through it. I know it. I feel it in my Achilles tendon.
Well, I tell you what. So you know, Kevin, with the dog masks, which became all the rage after the last go-round, you know, Casey had a very specific idea in mind as to when to put the dog mask on and take it off. So I think with the way you're going, that's, you know, of having that helmet on makes a lot of sense. My question is, what would your saying be on the back of the helmet?
It's either going to be fly, Eagles fly.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be underdogs no more. Or it's going to be we bleed Philadelphia. and we cut Patriots. That's what it's going to be.
All right, I like it.
That's good.
Kevin, I got to ask you about your prediction, which is the Eagles 83, the Patriots 6. Where did you get that score?
I saw it in a dream. Clear
day. You had it in a dream.
Saw that in a dream.
Saw it in a dream. Okay. I woke up from my dream, and I said, oh, my God, that was the epiphany of all epiphanies. The score is going to be 83-6, Eagles' favor. When you see things like that, you know that it's not a coincidence. You know that it's a 100% a fact, and it's what's going to happen.
Kevin,
you heard it from me first.
I'm not a statistician, but that to me seems like it would be the biggest blowout in Super Bowl history.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what it's
going to
be.
Okay. Hey, we have to do a few other things to touch with on here before we let you go. I know you got some gigs coming up later on this year. Going to be in Atlantic City on May 26th, playing the BB&T Pavilion Saturday, July 14th.
Nice.
Saturday, November 24th, Wells Fargo Center. So a lot of chances to see Kevin Hart coming up this year, which I think is fantastic. But also you had a big thing happen not that long ago. You welcomed a new son into your life, so congratulations on that.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Listen, when he was born and we heard his name, Kenzo, we were curious if that was a nod to Kensington for any particular reason.
Well, I wouldn't lie and say that it was. No, that was not a nod to Kensington. That was me and my wife trying to find a weird way to combine our names.
Oh.
To our child.
Ah. All right. I gotcha.
Okay.
That was.
That's still cool, yeah.
With Kevin, that's how we came up with Kenzo.
That's a cute
name.
And
we wanted to keep all the initials within the same realm that the other initials are with me, my kids, and the whole, Hart family.
Right.
So just trying to have a smooth family of names that flow. So that was just combining me and my wife's name.
It's good to have you coming back to the area because you've been the movie stuff has been taking a lot of your time. Congratulations on Jumanji. I think,
Thank you, man.
3 weeks at number one, I think it was?
Yeah.
No, we were at, I think, five. We did 5 weeks at number
one. Wow.
We came out four, and it's either four or five. I think you did 4 weeks consecutive, and then Maze Runner this past weekend was the one that knocked us out from being number one. We knocked Star Wars out, and then we had an amazing long run at number one. And globally, we still may be number one. But, I mean, it's unheard of what this movie is doing. It's unreal. I'm blown away by it. I'm not going to lie and say this is something that I saw coming because I definitely did not. And the fact that it's doing what it's doing and it's not a Marvel movie, a C movie. This isn't Fast and Furious or The Hunger Games. This is a movie that stands alone. You know, this is a revived classic.
Yeah.
Nobody saw it getting to this. You know, we're approaching a ridiculous number, and it just keeps going. So,
and it looks
this thing were to get to a billion, I'll be like, wow.
That's awesome. Well, and with Central Intelligence, which was hilarious, by the way, this pairing of you and Dwayne Johnson, we may be witnessing the next, big on-screen pair that we've seen, like Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder. Gene Wilder,
yeah.
and things like that happening. You guys have this chemistry.
We can't ignore the fact that we have something special. That's my brother. I love the guy, man. We're good friends on and off camera, and we realize that this is an opportunity that we just don't take for granted. This is something that, we have to make the best of. So, now with Jumanji doing this, of course, we're already talking about there being another Jumanji. Within that conversation of there being another Jumanji, we're talking about what is our next film outside of Jumanji within the next 5 years. We're so far ahead of the curve and always just thinking about ways to revive what we have and make it fresh. So we're going to continue to give the fans something that they can say is a Dwayne Rock Johnson, Kevin Hart project, and continue to do it at a very high level. We're blessed, man. We're blessed to be in a position that we are. We're humbled by it. We appreciate the people that are supporting us, and it's just something that we're not going to let in. We work hard for a reason, and when you have the success from working hard,
yeah,
you should want more of it, and we're two guys that do.
Speaking of working hard, Kevin, there's a little creature that's made his way out of Philadelphia, and his name's Birdbot, and he's on his way to the Super Bowl. And you're going to the game. We're trying to get Birdbot into the game. Now, normally we wouldn't ask for favors, but we don't get opportunities like this very often. If you happen to encounter Birdbot, do you think you might be able to help him get into the stadium?
Listen, if I see Birdbot, I'm going to see what I can do.
All right.
Can you get what? Yes. Where's it at? Here, you just need money. I'll just give you something, dude. All right, I'm sorry.
We need money, too, actually.
Look, my son, they don't care about what daddy got.
That's so classic. So classic, yeah.
All he cares about is his Starbucks money.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, so Bert.
In the middle of trying to get Birdbot, and my son says, Dad, what's up with the Starbucks money? Trying to work on. Okay.
Yeah. That's great.
Just do what you can if you see Birdbot. Yeah.
Listen, if I see him, depending on how many people, does he have a bunch of people with him? I mean, you know, is he one of those people that you try to get in and they got 30 people with him? It just as long as I see him and he's not making it complicated,
no.
I'll see what he can do.
No, he goes solo.
Just him.
Yeah, he goes solo.
We'll send you pictures or get since you're familiar. Just a small little robotic looking eagle. It has a whole bunch of stickers and love from Philadelphia. We sent it out. It's been a ground effort from fans going out to Minnesota. They've been passing them along, sort of like a big relay race of love for the Eagles. And
I see Birdbot.
Yeah.
If I see Birdbot, I'm going to get Birdbot.
Yeah.
Right there. All right. Listen, Kevin, thanks for your time, man. You gave the most impassioned speech I've heard so far about this weekend, and it's really exciting stuff. And we hope you have a great show while you're there, and we absolutely hope you have a great time. We hope to see you at the parade sometime next week if that's going to come true.
Thank you, guys. Listen, I 100% appreciate you. I got nothing but love for you guys, nothing but love for my city. This is a big weekend for us. All right, positive thoughts. Positive thoughts. This is us putting ourselves in a position to be in the history books. We're going to walk in this moment, and we're going to walk out of it with a different mindset and attitude and giving our city something to be proud of.
Yes.
Right there. I love it. All right, man. Take care. Thank you. Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Take care, bud. Oh, my God. That was absolutely phenomenal. He said it all.
Yeah, he did.
He said every bit of it.
Nothing needs to be said.
About what has transpired.
The story.
Yeah.
The essence of the story, which is so inspiring, and that 83-6 prediction, which would certainly be...
Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
They cut away to him in his box wearing a helmet, standing next to Birdbot.
Right. I would have a seizure. I would have a seizure on DVR delay because that's how I'm going to have to watch.
That was awesome talking to Kevin.
Yes,
fantastic.
Perfect.
We have yet to speak to somebody who's mildly conflicted in this particular matchup this weekend.
Yeah.
And he truly is, but it's so great that he's coming on this morning. And this interview was set up via Vince Papale. So we thank Vince for doing this. But calling all the way from Bogota, Colombia, because he is currently shooting a film as we speak. Mark Wahlberg is on with us. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing good, man. Listen, first of all, thank you for calling while you're busy working. And we know that that you got a gazillion things to do, but it's obviously huge for the city of Philadelphia, and you're an honorary son of Philly now, so we wanted to see if we can get you on, and sure enough, you said, yeah. Well, are you going to be able to watch the game while you're down in Bogota?
I'm going to watch the game. It's funny because we're actually working on Saturday, man. It's so populated, and it's so busy, so to be able to kind of shut some of these locations, I have to work on the weekend.
Yeah.
So it's a bummer that I can't be at the game, but we're definitely out of town for
that. All right, so you can't be at the game. Your phone line is kind of breaking up, so we only got part of that. But, you'll do what you can. I understand that. Listen, you're a lifelong Pats fan, but you did have some interesting things to say that we read about being okay with the Birds winning if they do come out this year. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, you know, I got to wear an Eagles uniform and to play Vince Papale, and that was a huge deal for me. And to be embraced by the city of Philadelphia the way I did, and we know with the amount of movies that I make. And they don't give love out easily. You really got to.
Oh, you got that, did you? Yeah.
Yeah, so to be able to do that, I mean, I feel such a huge sense of pride being able to be, you know, have been an Eagle. And, you know, I swear to God, if any other team, I would be stressed out. I'd be upset. I'd be sick. My family wouldn't talk to me. But now I just like, you know what? You know, like when we lost to the Giants, I didn't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
If this happens, the first person I'm going to call is Brandon Graham, you know, congratulate him. And, you know, there's just so many guys that are part of that organization that I truly love. And, you know, the city deserves it. You know, more loyal Eagles fans. So.
Yeah, the movie obviously means so much to us here, and your loving portrayal, and of course Vince speaks so incredibly highly of you. I know you were saying, I mean, you're indicating, you know, you're cool with how it breaks either way. In case you didn't know, Kevin Hart is predicting it'll be 83-6 in favor of the Eagles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a dream.
He had a dream. He was predicting 83-6.
He should bet his life savings on that.
That seems like a staggering blowout, but he's holding fast on that.
You know what? I think it's tough. I mean, I think both teams are prepared. I think it just really comes down to, you know, how well, you know, Foles can play under pressure. I mean, he literally has an opportunity to become, you know, a star the way Brady did when Drew Bledsoe was hurt.
That's exactly, you know, right.
The opportunity is right there. And, you know, I was hoping and praying, but, you know, take it, just go and be able to have two teams that I love so much in there. And, you know, it could be a nice, relaxing Sunday, no matter what. I'll tell you, the level of stress that I know everybody else is feeling is terrible. I mean, it takes years off of your life.
It actually has a physical... It causes physical issues, but now you're in sort of a zen place where you're happy with both outcomes, and that's actually good.
You know who actually sent me a cool picture last night? Shane Victorino.
Ah.
Sent me a picture of his Phillies ring and his Red Sox ring, and said, you know what, he's going to be relaxing and enjoying as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's very cool. That. Yeah.
Honest to God, to be either one of you guys would be, I mean, not just because you guys are in incredibly great shape and you're great looking and all that stuff, but just to be able to, like, sit back and relax and watch the game and be happy with whatever outcome, I'm very, very envious of that.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, you know, the amount of stress that I felt over the years, you know, and I can understand, too. Look, I mean, you know, Philadelphia, the fans are so die hard, you know, and they really deserve it, and, you know, and reminded me of my dad, and, you know, how, you know, good, hard-working people really kind of hang all their hopes on their sports teams.
Yeah.
You know, and that little, those victories mean so much, and they take you through such tough and difficult times. So, you know, I mean, I really, that was what I appreciated the most, and that's what made me go out there and work the hardest, because I wanted to make Vince proud, because I knew how committed he was to just going out there and helping his Eagles. You know, he would have done anything, sacrificed his body.
Yeah,
just to help them win, and I think people recognize that when they saw the movie.
Yeah, most definitely.
I was welcome, because if I didn't, I would never be welcome back.
Listen, you know what? You talk about not having any stress, and even though, you know, his dad played a Philadelphia Eagle, your son, who you had to leave the game early with last year because of all the F-bombs he was dropping when the Pats were behind, you think he's going to be stressing this year at all or not?
You know what? He is. They don't understand. I mean, they watched the Red Bull probably 20, 30 times, especially my older boys. Who plays tackle football, my youngest son starting this year. But they're just mad at me that we're not going to the game. I mean, they're so used to now going, and I'm like, you know, sometimes you don't get to go, and sometimes, you know, your team doesn't make it for 20 years. You guys are so spoiled. It's like, I mean, come on, you have no idea what it's like to struggle and have. I said, you know, for my entire childhood, the Patriots never went to the Super Bowl. And then when they finally went against the Bears, they got crushed, and then they got crushed again against the Pats.
It's a weird thing, and a lot of people brought up this point, and they use the word jaded. You know, getting to the Super Bowl, whatever it takes, is a Herculean chore. But you know, do you think jaded is applicable to the Pats fan at this point with all the wins, or does it
mean? Absolutely, and I can understand the absolute hate and disdain for them. You know, because being a Red Sox fan and having to deal with the Yankees winning so much, you know, I mean, you can understand, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not a Patriot fan, you're just like, I'm
enough already.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I mean, at least you got to admire how incredible they've been over the years when, you know, you got teams like, you know, the Panthers who were in the Super Bowl the next year, you know, they were barely making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. And to be able to kind of keep up with that level of play for so long and Brady being an eight, it's pretty incredible.
Well, I mean, one of the, you know, most amazing things was that that massive deficit and comeback. And I mean, you cannot argue. And the great thing is with the Eagles, you know, a lot of the players are just good guys this year. It's a great team of guys that have really been charitable and supportive of our show and just always really good. And we're proud of them as men and as athletes and how they're representing the city. But they're all very, you know, they realize that you can't just cast off Tom Brady. And, you know, these are achievements that are well worth giving merit to. So I like the vibe. It seems to be, you know, a good level of respect and hopefully a hell of a Super Bowl.
It is. I tell you what, I know both teams have a profound amount of respect for the opposite team and what they've been able to accomplish and the level of which they've been playing. You know, I talked to Brandon Graham. I said, please, just don't hurt number 12. I mean, nothing more intimidating.
Listen, let's touch real quick. And the reason we have a funky phone line, you can't tell on your end, Mark, but people listening are tuning in. It's Mark Wahlberg, who is calling us from Bogota, Colombia, currently filming there. The movie is Mile 22. What can you tell us about that at this point, Mark?
Well, Pete Berg is directing, like, a Lone Survivor, Deepwater Horizon and Patriots Day. It's the first time that we're doing a movie that's not based on a true story. It's a character-driven action film, very well-written. I'm playing this kind of anti-hero who's, you know, operating in a third world country and, you know, just above the CIA. And these guys are getting pretty crazy. But it's fun for us to now kind of be able to just get a little crazy, have a little bit of fun. Because, you know, when you have the responsibility of telling true stories like that, especially, you know, that came from these tragic events, you know, that you carry a lot of responsibility with that. So to be able to kind of just say, okay, we're going to go and have fun and create something that's really entertaining.
Yeah, well, it's cool because Pete Berg has become sort of quietly and in workmanlike fashion become one of the absolute best directors out there. And you have sort of kind of a De Niro Scorsese relationship with him. I think he gets your shorthand and you seem to get him well, and it works well on screen.
Yeah, we're like brothers, you know. It's a great working relationship and just friendship. You know, we get each other, and I think we kind of push each other. We don't, you know, let each other cut corners. And, you know, his only flaw is that he's a giant.
His only flaw is he's a Giants fan.
next to the Patriots and Eagles being in the Super Bowl, the Giants being in the bottom of the barrel was lovely.
Right?
I hate the Giants as much as anybody in Philadelphia, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool.
All right. So a lot of cool people in this. You obviously the great John Malkovich is in it. Lauren Conan, Cohen from Walking Dead, and Ronda Rousey is in the film. How is Ronda in this? Is she one of the main characters, or
and because Ronda's doing a great job?
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Yeah. She plays one of my crew, and she's fantastic.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to it, man. And listen, once again, we really appreciate you taking the time. You're busy. You're internationally filming right now. So we appreciate the check-in and just keep kicking ass. And thanks for being so good to Philadelphia. We're huge
thanks
fans.
Thank you, guys. And good luck to everybody now. Good luck on Sunday.
All right. We appreciate it. Mark Wahlberg, yeah, guys. Hey! How crazy cool is that?
He's when he's come in, here's a guy who gets it. When he comes in, he's nothing but nice. And you know, he gets out and does the legwork promoting a film because he says there's a lot of people who, you know, who base, you know, they're not up on the screen. They're the people and the craftsmen who are behind the scenes who kind of rely on the film industry to do well. So the onus is on him to make sure it does well. He's a great guy.
About a quarter of what he said I couldn't hear, but unfortunately. But listen, he's calling from Bogota, going through international phone lines. But I want to thank Vince Papale for setting that up because he came by when I was off during jury duty. He stopped by and you guys just asked him offhand. He's like, sure, absolutely.
He's just right out there and he texted him. And by the end of that interview, he was getting response back.
That was pretty cool, man.
These are looking good, guys.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Honey Tiger. Celebrating our area's best talent.
bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Honey Tiger, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We have sitting right next to us Jason Kelce and Bo Allen. Super Bowl champion Eagles, and we had a nice discussion about victory and the parade and all the things that came with it and the party that that continues on, and it's just massive what took place. And
it is, and even being a tangential part of it, witnessing it,
yeah,
you still can't wrap your mind around what it means. And for you guys, you were etched in the history of Philadelphia. It's a wild thing. I don't think, you know, sometimes we'll get veteran players in here. Who's
we've had, like, are you talking about like Super Bowl winners and stuff
just
like that?
Like players
who have Theismann.
Papale was in last or 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to ask you guys if you guys were nervous at all, especially towards the end of the game. Jason, you guys were down by one with 9 minutes left. You guys have a fourth down on the other side of the 50-yard line, and you have to drive. Really, all you need is a field goal to take the lead. Were there any nerves during that last drive?
You know, I not really, to tell you the truth. Mm. I think everybody kind of understood that it was an important part in the game. But, you know, especially offensively, we had been moving the ball so well the whole game. I mean, we only punted once.
Yeah.
You know, we were pretty confident that we were at least going to go down there and put up some points to regain the lead. You know, I think before the game, if anything, I think you're like, wow, this is the Super Bowl. I mean, this is the game. Yeah. But I think, you know, after talking to guys that have been there, like, you know, Jenkins, Chris Long, you know, all these people that, you know, kind of talked to have played in that game, they very much all said pretty much the same thing of, this is no different than any other game. Go out there, and as hard as it is, don't overdo it. Just do your job. Do everything that got you here. Stay in your lane. And when your play comes to you, like Chris said to us in particular, when your play comes, you'll be ready for it if you stay in your lane and you're doing your job.
Great advice.
I tell you what, man, Nick Foles on that first drive, so here he is, the world stage in the Super Bowl. He looked like he was playing a pickup game with the buddies at the park on the weekend. I couldn't believe the composure. It was unreal.
And that's Nick's composure all the time. I mean, you want to talk about a calm, cool, collected cat and a guy that very much, you know, there's been like, you know, a few quarterbacks where it really feels like you're literally just, hey, We're with Nick right now. We're just playing out in the backyard, and that does another level of kind of easing all those nerves.
Well, it's like when he called that Philly special. He was like, Philly special.
Yeah.
He's like, you want to do it?
and then Peterson firing back with like, yeah.
All right. Yeah. When that play came in the huddle, we were all like, oh, yeah, here we go.
That's so cool.
You knew that if it worked, if it went per the plan, that it was going to be living history.
Oh yeah, I mean, you knew if we made that play, it was going to be, you know, if not the biggest play in the game, one of the biggest plays in the game. Mm-hmm. And you knew if we didn't pick it up, it was going to be all on Doug Peterson.
Oh so, yeah,
I mean, it was one of those, you know, defining moments, I think, as a coach and a team, and I think that's another reason why it's such a big play.
Sure. So that play and Jason, your face are now tattoos on a lot of different people's bodies, especially you dressed like the mummer. That's got to be a little surreal, right? Seeing your face on other people's bodies?
It's pretty surreal, I guess, is a perfect word for it. You know, it's the ultimate compliment when somebody puts your face on them permanently.
Or they're little nuts or both.
Yeah, I think you got to be both. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little of both.
Well, very passionate about Philly, which I love.
Yes.
Let's speaking of passion, let's tap into that. We got some phone calls, and we're going to take them. I'm going to go to Jason, first of all. Hey, Jason, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Good, buddy. You're on with Jason and Bo here.
How you doing? Big fan, guys. Congratulations. Thank you again. I just want to say thank you, Jason Kelce. Because all my friends and a bunch of strangers say I look exactly like him.
That's unfortunate. Yeah.
So sorry.
So now I don't have to worry about a Halloween costume.
You're all set.
So all you got to do is create that mummer outfit and you're in, right?
And the better thing is my sister has a friend that is a mummer. So I'll be able to get the costume.
There you go. You're all set.
There you go.
Super Bowl win and a Halloween costume in one move.
Done deal. Thanks, Jason. Let me go next to Christine. Hey, Christine. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. You're on with the guys.
Hey,
Hey, guys. I just wanted to start by saying congratulations and thank you for an awesome season. My family and I were at the parade. We were at the beginning of the parade in South Philly. And Jason, I just want to say thank you so much for making my son's entire season. You handed him a white box with a green bow on top. And
what was in that? Because I still don't know what was in that.
And my son said, you handed it to him and you said, I don't know what's in this box. It was a scarf. It was a winner.
A scarf. There you go. Yes.
Where did you get the box? Did she give it to you?
Somebody handed it to me. I don't remember. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to find a kid here. Where can I hand it? And
then... cool. It's crystal meth. Dude, for you, not the kids.
Thanks, Christine. Awesome. Oh, that is too funny.
Oh, that's adorable, though.
Let me go to Dave. Yo, Dave, you're on the air, bud.
Hey, good morning, guys. Jason, Bo, I love you. Thank you so much for bringing the Super Bowl to the city of Philadelphia. You guys are the best. MMR is my favorite radio station. The Philadelphia Eagles are my favorite team. I've been a fan since the Dick Vermeil years, and you guys gave me something I'll remember for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jason and Bo. Please come back with the Eagles next year.
He had a plan. That was well done. Well
nice,
done.
Dave.
Yeah.
I concur.
Line four.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, you have
this,
to. Yeah.
This is this guy actually yeah. teaches law at.
I warned Bob.
No, yeah, it's
okay.
Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Gary.
It's Gary Lauer.
Hey, Gary.
Good morning, Jack. Good morning, Jason. And good morning, Bo. And I want to say thank you for the best Christmas and birthday present ever. Amazing season. Amazing, 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 amazing. It was the best. I have one question for you. Do you have a certain breakfast you eat prior to a game?
Do you have a certain breakfast you guys eat prior to a game?
It kind of actually stinks that we're always at the hotel, and we're kind of ultimately requires what they have there. But before games, usually there's an omelet bar.
Yeah.
You go there, get a nice omelet, and then I'm a big brown rice. Green beans and carrots.
Ah, there you go.
Breakfast, green beans and carrots.
Well, it's always the pregame meal is always the same. Yeah, so okay. If it's a night game, an afternoon game, it's always the same. So you just try and eat the same thing so you feel the same.
That's kind of what I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want a surprise. Yeah, you don't want a bran muffin and a black coffee before you.
Hey, do you guys have a preference on games? Do you like 1 o'clock games, 4 o'clock games, Sunday night, Monday night? I know you don't like Thursday night.
I don't really like night games in general just because, I mean, you definitely felt like this with the Super Bowl. It's the biggest game. You feel like you're just kind of, you wake up, you're waiting around all day. So I like the 1 o'clock games. You just wake up. You kind of hit a early breakfast, and then you're in the mix. You're getting ready to go.
Yeah, it's enough of a ritual. I mean, you just have a clock, and it's your body's expecting certain things at certain times, and when you throw that off, it's reason to be concerned.
Yeah.
Did any of you guys watch the Flyers game last night by chance?
I did not watch.
They played in Vegas. They won, which is cool. They've won. I think the Philly teams, by the way, since you guys won the Super Bowl, are undefeated. The Sixers and the Flyers. But the number of Flyers fans in attendance, which was really impressive, the number of Eagles chants at a Flyers game in Las Vegas was innumerable, and they just kept chanting it. So not only are you popular here, you're popular in Las Vegas. I mean, and you guys, when you play on the road, there's a ton of Eagles fans that show up.
Yeah, definitely on the West Coast. Those games out in LA were
Yeah. I'm hoping that the Super Bowl win was contagious, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To the other teams. I mean, I know that's a silly thing, but
how can it not be?
Where are the Flyers right now?
They're in third place in the Metro Division. They played they had the best record in the division since they had an awful end of November and December.
Yeah.
And I think if you're Claude Giroux, if you're a guy that sees a parade down Broad Street and the Parkway, you can't help but be jealous and use that as motivation, and you want your team to do that much better. I mean, you talked about, Jason, about the motivation that you guys have felt from the beginning. I think that this serves as motivation for the rest of the teams in town.
Yeah, and I think, unfortunately, if there's any disdain for the Philadelphia Eagles, it's because of the fans. So we're sorry about that.
What?
Yeah.
Well, it's the Eagles chant at a Phillies game in July.
I got you.
And you're like,
It's an Eagles town.
I believe the complexion of that will change in this year. Yeah.
But listen, no, I'm not going to say it.
What?
Superstition.
Okay, all right.
Wait a minute.
Again with the superstition.
that it was a reset and a clean slate on the superstitions.
Hey, listen, that lasted all of 30 minutes.
I need a couple. I need a couple of superstitions. We'll talk about this in 10 years.
That's how it starts. That's how it starts.
He's still going to sacrifice a virgin.
Let me go to, I have, it says Wilf. I don't think that's your name. Wilf?
That is my name.
Okay.
Wilf!
Well,
with an S.
All right, Will F. What's up, buddy?
So I lived with Jason, and I know Bo, and I just want to
Wills with an S.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Wills with an S.
Yes.
You can easily judge the character of a man by how he treats those who can do nothing for him. And I feel that Jason and Bo and Chris Long and all these guys in the Eagles are not just great football players and multi-talented, but they're legitimately great people who will go out of their way to help others and They have a whole team of great guys, and I could tell from day one this year the locker room was different just from watching them, and I just can't express how proud I am of those guys and happy for them that they are for you guys, rather.
That's cool.
So you won. I think it's amazing.
Is Will's a guy who has nothing to offer anybody?
Will's actually was one of my roommates, and he taught me a great deal. He's a guitar player, drummer, and stuff like that. We used to jam out together before I got engaged, and then that kind of ended the roommate.
Are you going to be hanging out with Will's all the time?
yeah, very good friends.
With your guitars and your drums?
Well, Will's and I have shared a few correspondences over the years, and I won't divulge which we've talked about, but Jason has done some things that are really honorable that weren't for press. It wasn't for cameras around, you know, and it's for people that just needed some help. And I've seen Bo do it as well. So you guys won't sing your praises, but we will.
Yeah, there you go. That's the deal. In fact, that should you pay us.
Thanks, Wills.
Congratulations.
Love you, buddy.
Very nice. Well expressed. Nice. Yes.
Listen, we can tell that stuff, too. We've been here for a long time. We've met a lot of people, a lot of guys on all of the teams in Philadelphia. And we get a vibe. We get a pretty honest vibe from the way people carry themselves.
Yes.
And we've said from the beginning that this particular group has just been, I don't know, everybody's likable. That's what's great, you know?
Yeah, and by comparison to some other teams and other athletes in the past, this is a team that you wanted to root for.
But to his point, and we've said it, you judge a person by how they, you know, how they tip somebody at a restaurant, or you know, those are the moments that are really established what someone's about. And you guys, you know, it's always great feedback.
Or return your text messages.
Or return your text.
I don't know, man. Once you've been on the Ellen Show, it's tough to return text messages.
Dornboss?
Yeah.
Dornboss is great, but we've said his number one magic trick has been making us disappear.
Well, you know what's really funny is I ran into Kelsey last year at the Khyber Pass. You were grabbing a burger. I was grabbing a burger. Yeah. And this is after, I think right before training camp was about to start. And I had sent you a couple of texts. And you didn't respond. And then I don't hold that against you, because if you were to look at my text messages, I have a whole bunch of texts that I haven't responded to. But I turn around and there you are. I'm like, yo. And you were like, oh, man.
Oh, this guy.
Man, I'm so sorry. No, he goes, man, I'm
Jesus Christ.
It's maybe you weren't like that in your head, but out loud.
I
like,
could have been going for pizza. I said pizza in my mind. Go get pizza.
It was really funny because you're like, man, I'm so sorry. I got to get my life together. You're like, and then you even said you were like, my mom even says that, like, I don't call her, blah, blah, blah. So I just want to remind you, call your mom today. Call your mom today. Call her every single day. My mom lives with me now. So, and yeah, which is a really, really great blessing. But, you know, it made me realize that, man, I didn't call her enough. So call her as many times as you can.
Thank you very much.
On a personal note, so you win the biggest achievement in your line of work as a reward to yourself. A vacation, an item, you know.
Purchase.
A
toy, something.
Is there something that you have in mind? I mean, you've earned it, you know.
Yeah, I haven't really gotten that far. I think I might go somewhere on go somewhere warm, tropical, work on my tan a little bit.
Take a little. Do you tan or do you stroke?
I burn. Look at him.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's.
I don't know. I haven't really gotten there yet. I think I'll probably use the Super Bowl win as an excuse to treat myself. I don't really know how.
You need to.
Yeah.
I think you both need full-size Rock'em Sock'em robots.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm headed to California, actually, after the show to visit Connor Barwin, who former Eagle, one of my favorite teammates and best friends. And then my fiance and I are going to go down to Florida for at least a little bit. She still has work, unfortunately, so we can't take too much time off. But
where's the All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game? Is that out in California?
It's in Cali.
Are
yeah.
you going to go to that?
No, I'll be gone before okay. the game.
By the way, Connor, another guy who put his money where his mouth is and does good things mm-hmm. and is a positive person all the way around.
Yeah.
We've stayed in touch while you guys, we talked to him while you guys were making the run, and he's just... I mean, he was great for the city and still continues to give to the city. Which
yes,
is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, somebody else you can root for. Have you guys heard from anybody that you wouldn't have expected to? Anybody famous? I know Rob McElhenney reached out to you, Bo, and you guys were going to shotgun a beer. But yeah. Matthew McConaughey sent that ad out for Nick Foles, which is cool. Have you guys heard from anybody famous like that?
We were with Miles Teller after the game at the after party of the Super Bowl. Really, really cool dude. Nice guy. Really
yeah, he's a Downingtown guy, I think. Yeah,
he's a huge Eagles fan.
Yeah.
Did Bradley Cooper work his way back or no?
I don't know.
Might have been
Kevin Hart.
But there's a lot going on at that.
I think with Miles though, he was like asking like it wasn't like typical fan talk. He was like
he knows his stuff.
Yeah, like it was like very in depth, like
really poignant questions.
Really,
I was like, wow. And we were all drinking after the game, having a really good time. And yeah, that's his dad right there. His dad is the nicest guy of all time. Huge Eagles fan. Was asking really great questions. Really. Really well informed, and his dad got me a plate of breakfast food at like 4 a.m.
After
party. He's like, "You must be so hungry after the game." I was like, "Dude, this is the nicest thing anybody."
Oh, that's cool. That is cool.
Yeah, and so him and his dad were just so cool, and you know, everyone. He was taking pictures with everybody, and he's a really. We're broing out. He's a really cool guy.
Speaking of breakfast, Jason, has IHOP or Denny's or anybody contacted you about an endorsement deal or anything like that yet?
Kelsey-O's.
There you go.
Well, you could be Special K.
Yeah. Special K, hey. That's a good idea, kid.
Yeah, we actually have the same agent. We might need to get them on the line.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an obvious.
I mean, it'd be easy. I mean, it's the first, you know, the before and after. I'm pissed off. I'm not pissed off. I'm happy.
Or the Kelsey Leisurewear collection that's all mummer's outfit.
Actually, you know what, Press? Go to line 8 because that guy's got a pretty good idea.
Line 8. Okay, yes. I'm going to go to Gary. Hey, Gary, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. You're on with Jason and Bo.
All right. Real quick, first off, thank you guys so very much. Made my freaking day. made my lifetime. I mean, been a fan my whole entire life. So the big thing was, Kelsey, everybody starts saying online after you said the hungry comment, would you end up going for the Snickers thing if they said you're not you're the commercial, you know, you're not yourself when you're hungry?
That's a great idea.
I'll call them.
Yeah.
I'll call the Snickers.
That's brilliant.
You're not yourself, yeah.
We definitely need to get our PR person out.
All this money is just disappearing.
Yeah, we're missing our moment here.
Let me get a couple more calls here quick, just people that want to say thanks. We'll let them do that. Hi, Lydia, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's
up? I want to say thank you to Bo and Jason. We met you, my husband, son, and I, Friday night, and my husband is still smiling ear to ear. And why that's such a big deal is my very active, healthy husband had a stroke in June. So he is now in a wheelchair, and he's trying to relearn how to walk and everything else. So going to the parade, now all that was not possible. He's a huge Eagles fan. So I finally actually got to see you at Carl's Cards, and you guys flanked him and took a picture, and we had my 17-year-old son taking a picture of his father smiling ear to ear. You have no idea what that meant to us. He is so happy, even now. He's got bragging rights. It's all over for him. So cool. So thank you so much. It made such a difference in our family.
Absolutely. It was great to meet you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Did you guys book that gig before or after the Super Bowl?
Well, I was joking with Kels. We actually booked it before the parade, and then his speech was just a promo to try to build that up.
Listen, man, if you could go totally apex, I mean, freak the F out.
You need to kill me.
Flail your arms and do everything.
I wanted to ask you about, because you were talking about Connor Barwin being one of your best friends, and is it normal for offense and defensive lines to be, because I always just assumed offensive line hangs together and the defensive line hangs together and...
Well, I think that's true to a certain extent, but I mean, ever since I got here, Kels has been really supportive of me, and we're both, I think we both take a lot of pride in having good technique and stuff like that. So we do a lot of stuff with each other, you know, after practice, before practice, especially when I was young. So, I don't know, Kels, really appreciate you for that. But
I like big butts, you know.
That helps.
What about, and it's, you know, I don't know if you can speak about other people, but the kinship and bond between Lane Johnson and Chris Long.
Yeah.
There's another one that's, okay, yeah, maybe they go at it against each other in practice. Or
I think there's a certain amount of respect you get going against somebody, and, like, especially, you know, Bo and Chris are not just great people, but really good players, and you get to, like, just talking to each other about, like, you know, what were you thinking there? What'd you do there different? How'd you beat me on that play? Things like that, I think, force you to kind of interact more. But also offensive linemen and defensive linemen are kind of, like, similar. Like people in general.
Cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys had spent so much time with each other all season long. How happy were you for Brandon Graham to have that play?
Yeah, I was incredibly happy for him. It's funny, Chris kind of, or Kels kind of mentioned this earlier, but when we started our playoff run, Doug did a really good job of asking guys that have been there before, won playoff games, won the Super Bowl, to get up and talk to the team. And Chris Long gave this great speech about how, you know, in the playoffs, you're going to have your moment. You're going to have that play that kind of defines you almost. And you know, you can't chase it. You just need to wait for it. You need to do your job down to those little details, and that play will come to you. And so I always think of, you know, BG in the Super Bowl for that, because, I mean, honestly, defensively, we didn't have a good day. You know, Tom Brady carved us up pretty good. They played really well, and they scored a lot of points on us. But all that being said, you know, Brandon Graham had his moment. He had that one play, and he played a great game up until that, you know, and then, you know, he has that one play that kind of defines our defense and defines, you know, him.
And can't say enough about
that moment for him.
And he's been such an underappreciated person, I think, across the league even. I mean, the guy, I still remember when I was first here, he was drafted, I think, the year right before I got here, and how everybody was, you know, crushing him. He was drafted before all these other guys, and how we missed out on all these other players. And he's just been such a dominant player, especially in this system. And, you know, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. He should have been a Pro Bowl player this year. He was a tremendous defensive end for the past 3 or 4 years for us. He just doesn't get the sack totals. But, I mean, the amount of pressure he puts on quarterbacks.
And even
anybody who watches the film, it's eye-opening the type of player he is.
Beyond that, even in the run game, like, in the amount of effort he gives to just chasing down runs from the backside, and he's a really complete defensive end for us. I love playing with the guy. He's a great person too.
Like, we had him in studio, and he was super nice. I thought he was really, really great.
Infectious smile too, you know.
He's got a great smile, great laugh, a
lot of trash talking
around. You know, and that's what you guys kind of talked about. We have so many guys like that on our team that are just great people, great individuals, great football players, and fun to be around.
That was my favorite play of the game. I mean, I know that the Philly special gets a lot of the press, and obviously the Hail Mary at the end, but the Brandon Graham sack was my favorite play. And we were, as Preston mentioned earlier, we were broadcasting from the parade, and they showed the Super Bowl on the screens. And when the crowd saw, I mean, everybody knows what's coming. Right. They know what the play is about to be. And then Brandon Graham still gets that sack and strips Brady. The crowd went nuts, you know? And just to relive it with 700,000 of your closest friends was pretty special.
It was crazy when that play happened on the field, because, you know, I'm on the sidelines. I'm getting ready to, we're in 2 minute, maybe rotate in, and BG is rushing on the inside, right? And I celebrated so hard, and I was so happy. I was yelling so loud, I got like a head rush. I like ran out of the field. I was going, because you know, a big play like that happens, you got to celebrate with your boys, and I was. So I remember just being like, oh, shit. Like, I'm
going to pass out.
You guys haven't watched the game, but my favorite play is actually a play that didn't even, it wasn't a scoring play, but you have to watch it. It's in the final drive where right before Zach Ertz scores that touchdown. It's a pass in, down the middle of the field to Nelson Aguilar. This window.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I watched it, and it was incredible.
You were right there.
Two defenders, like, right on either side of him, and the needle that Nick threaded to get that ball to Nelson was
an amazing throw.
Especially in the circumstances, too. I mean, it was an impressive play.
I had my friends over on Saturday night when that play came up. You know, because everybody's talking. You're not watching the game as closely as you did when it was live, but everybody stopped. We're like, look at this. Look at this.
Did you DVR?
It was a tight window.
Oh, yeah.
It was
a tight window, and the one defender's back was turned, and he was turning around. I mean, it's just the timing is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. So good.
By the way, Case, I wanted to ask you, actually. So you had a replay party this weekend?
Yeah.
Where you had your buddies over and you guys watch it again. Yeah. How often are you going to do that?
Well,
for the rest of the year.
Yeah, at least
because you tweeted out, let's keep this going all season.
I want to keep it going. Well, so these are like my oldest friends in the world, and so I'd asked them to continue the tradition. I don't, you know, so I want Reggie to have it next, and then AJ after that, and then Steve and Vinny, you know. So
it's like the sisterhood of the traveling pants.
I don't want to be the only one, but it was awesome. I mean, like, it was like a real Super Bowl party. People brought food over. I had wings and pizza, and, you know, my kids ate all the caramel M&Ms. I didn't get any caramel M&Ms.
I bet you the betting was a little less aggressive.
Well, so it's funny. We talked about doing a block pool, you know. You would know who won as soon as the
yes,
numbers were
dialed
out.
Yeah, I got a question for you, actually.
Yeah.
So I guess when you're – I didn't realize this, but – how are the Super Bowl commercials? Because we're in the game, right? We saw one that was really funny that they showed that was the Giants guys.
Yeah, that was good.
Dirty Dancing.
They were good. You know, it's funny because in years past we talk about this. Actually, the main focus many, many years is the commercials because a lot of times, you know, you don't have a horse in the race. You know, I still like the game, and obviously.
Boy, the game itself isn't that entertaining.
Is that entertaining? Yeah. So, but they were mid-level, but good. No real stinkers. And actually, I think we're showing one now with Danny DeVito as an M&M, which is good. And Tide had a good couple of commercials.
But we didn't pay that much attention to the commercials.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Past years.
Yeah. They were showing, apparently, McElhenney was saying they were showing some of the commercials in the stadium when they would cut to them. Some of them got on the Jumbotron. Was that the case?
I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Who, the day of the game, who all did you guys see around? Because I know Brett Favre came in and spoke to you guys, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he did. And
he wasn't wearing Wrangler jeans. He means so much.
No. Oh, man.
Scam.
What a poser.
How many Something About Mary questions did you get?
No, that was really cool for me because I actually grew up a Packers fan in Minnesota, and we were in Minnesota for the Super Bowl. Yeah. So I don't know if, like, when Kobe came and talked to us when we were out in L.A., a lot of guys were real starstruck, and that was really cool for me. But I think seeing Brett Favre, that was the only time I've ever really been like, oh, wow, man.
Yeah.
Favre right in front of
you. Now, does somebody like that come up and start to offer advice? Did he address the team, or was he just walking around saying hi to people?
No, he addressed the team.
And, okay.
It was good. I mean, it's always good to hear from people that have been there before. He's obviously a real guy, and he's like, man, I feel like I could lace him up. And I was like, hey, yeah.
He was getting fired up just talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah, you could tell that he's, you know, still wishes he could go out there and play, and that's the type of competitor he was.
Yeah.
It was actually really, I mean, as someone who wasn't even a Green Bay fan growing up, it was awesome.
Do you know what?
To see a guy like that talk.
What impressed me also with you guys, we talked about this, with this team, there are both you guys, and then there are a number of other players who could, were you of a mind to, transition into broadcasting. I think, you know, you guys have a good conversive gift. Is that on anybody's long-term plan?
I got a face for radio.
I don't know.
I mean, Terry Bradshaw is doing it.
Yeah. You see a lot of former players. I don't know if that's, hopefully that's something we won't have to worry about for a while.
No, we like you where you are right now, but you guys, you know, and Preston will tell you, I mean, over the years, we've had some athletes come in, and it's like you're talking to a doorstop. You know, I mean, nice people, but it's just you get nothing back. And you guys have the gift of conversation.
But some of them, though, yeah, you do. You both speak very well, but some of the players that we've had in the past, you see, as they're coming towards the end of their career, they start getting better when they come
do.
In.
Oh,
they
do.
Oh my God.
They come in with thesauruses and everything. Yeah. What's another
John
good?
Runyon, John perfect Runyon example is a perfect of that. Example. John was like,
John actually learned to speak English in the final year of his career.
And then he started to come into his own.
Yeah.
You know?
He just had pictures of cave drawings when he came in initially. And
you know what I think is cool for you guys is that, you know, we talk about this select group of people in the locker room, and it's a special group of people that, from what I understand, teams, you can be on a team and not win a championship and maybe never see some of those guys again. But if you do win a championship, sometime down the road, there might be a reunion or a get-together of people. So you'll have the opportunity to do that again, you know?
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% right. And this team was so close to everything. That's kind of been discussed, even leading up to the game. Like, you know, the reality is this team isn't going to be the same next year.
I know. That breaks my heart.
And, I'm sitting one of my best friends who's a free agent this coming year, and, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, everybody on the team would love for him to be back in Philadelphia, but I also selfishly want to see this guy get some due-deserved pay, as he is an incredible player.
And it's just an unfortunate circumstance. But like you just mentioned, you know, we have forever the first Super Bowl in Philadelphia Eagles history, the first team ever to do it. And, you know, I think that we'll be able to enjoy that for the rest of our lives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's one thing that I think somebody asked me last week, you know, like, what's the one thing that you'll remember the most about the Super Bowl and stuff like that? And I'll never forget, you know, the clock winds down and you know you're going to win. And we stormed the field and it was like chaos, right? It was like the D-Day scene of Saving Private Ryan. You know, I'm shocked. I got goosebumps. I'm trying to find somebody. Like, I remember celebrating with Kels. Then we kind of hugged and then ran away. And I'm looking around and I saw Brent Celek. I looked at Brent Celek and just to see his face and it was... And how happy he is. And Celek is one of my favorite guys. I think he's the best teammate I've ever had. You know, and I think Kels would say the same. And to see a guy like that, and he's the ultimate grinder in my mind. He's a guy that has done so much for the city of Philadelphia, for the Eagles. And he's a great teammate, never, ever complains. Like, you see him running scout team reps as an 11-year vet. I remember I'm asking him, like, Selzy, you're doing, like, why are you doing so many scout team reps? He's like, I'm trying to practice, bro. I'm trying to get better. I'm like, he is just an unbelievable guy. And to see him and what that means after the game is something that I'll never really forget. And I always kind of enjoy that memory. But he said that to me. He's like, Bo, we win this thing. Like, we're legends in Philly, man.
Yeah.
And we'll always have this, man. We'll be coming back in 30 years. And that's one thing I'm so excited about is, like, a guy like that, guys like Kels.
I got to say, my dad would have loved you guys. He would have loved this team. He passed 3 years ago. He was the one that took me to my first Eagles game. And, you know, on Saturday I went to a funeral. And then on my way home from that, I got stopped in traffic for another funeral. And I just kept, you know, I thought to myself, man, it's a shame that these guys aren't going to be able to experience this. But they would have loved you guys. You guys were just so much fun to watch all season long. You know, it just, you know, the celebrations, and it just seemed like you guys were really fighting for each other. So, thank
definitely.
You.
I mean, it feels, I appreciate you saying that. It's felt like a magical year.
Well, listen, do something for yourself, definitely. You guys have certainly earned it, and you need to treat yourself. And I know you're pulled in 10 different directions right now, and I can't thank you enough for having some time to come by here and visit with us. It means a lot to us. And we appreciate you guys being here, so thanks so much.
We always love coming on.
Yeah, cool, this is a lot of fun for us. It's not a chore by any means.
That's so kind, yeah.
Awesome. You bet. All right, thank you, guys. It's here for him, Jason Kelsey. Bo Allen from your World Championship Philadelphia Eagles. Love it.
What are you doing here?
The one thing we know how to do, MMR rocks. Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
Law enforcement officials say an argument over a $20 debt led to a melee at a Girl Scout cookie stand outside of a Walmart store.
I knew that was a lit match.
Yeah, sheriff's deputies arrested two teenage brothers on disorderly conduct and battery charges following the attack. Deputies say the teens knocked over a table and scattered boxes of Girl Scout cookies all over the store. Reports that the teens, who were 18 and 16, they told deputies they asked for the money that one of the girls owed them. When an adult at the stand told them they couldn't pay, the family demanded to be paid in cookies.
Give me cookies!
And arrest reports said the boys then punched a man, a woman, and a teenager before smashing cookie boxes. So
you know, the spirit of the Girl Scouts is eluding them.
Yeah, exactly. So they need to chill. Police were called to break up a fight on a train somewhere in the UK as rowdy passengers repeatedly placed bagels on other travelers' heads.
Okay. What an insult.
Officers arrived at the station in Hertfordshire just after 1 a.m. on Sunday after being alerted to passengers fighting and intimidating others.
Was it just bagels or a schmear?
It was just bagels. The service was held for 18 minutes while the officers took statements before the train continued its journey. A video on Twitter showed bagels on top of two passengers' heads. Female passengers appeared in the footage placing partial or whole bagels.
Oh, that man has a bagel on his head.
On the head of the man sat in front of them. He is then seen to take chunks off of his head before throwing them out the carriage window and later shouting,
"How dare you put a bagel on top of my head?"
Amid the ensuing cacophony, a group could be heard singing, "He's got a bagel on his head."
Oh, the great old British drinking song.
He's got a bagel on his head.
He got a bagel on his head. Hey, looky over there. He's got a bagel on his head.
The footage then cuts to two officers boarding the train, with one asking, has anyone...
He's got a croissant on his foot. He's got a croissant on his foot.
Has anyone seen anything? Anyone know who's involved? So the video also showed brawls in the carriage and outside on the platform. It is not known if these were connected to the bagels in question.
Well, first Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Now this.
When it comes to relationships, marriage, and sex, World of Faith Fellowship members must follow strict and unusual rules or risk severe punishment, former members say. Some of the edicts include congregants need permission from leader Jane Whaley and their ministers to get married, and it can then take months or even a year before the newlyweds are allowed to have sex.
And during that year, don't they have to wear bagels on their heads?
No one is allowed to date without permission, and most relationships and marriages are arranged by Whaleyan ministers. On their wedding night, couples are permitted only a peck on the cheek.
Oof.
When they get in bed together, they must roll over and go to sleep.
My wife went completely the other way.
For all married couples, lovemaking is limited to 30 minutes. No foreplay is allowed, and the lights must be turned off, and only the missionary position is sanctioned.
Wow.
I actually looked into this group. It's a cult.
You sent me the article.
I sent you the article. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's off the charts.
They actually do some abusive things, which is absolutely horrible. But I didn't know that about the sex. You can't have sex for a year once you get married. Let me see here. This is out of China. It's kind of a follow-up. This an incident had happened before at this particular wildlife park. The Badaling Wildlife Park was the stage for yet another terrifying incident recently, this time involving a group of bears and an open car window. While driving through the bear enclosure at the safari-style park outside of Beijing on Sunday, a white car stopped and its back window was rolled down, causing a group of bears to gather around the car, with one trying to claw its way inside the vehicle.
Did someone order takeout?
The Weibo user, who was in the vehicle behind the white car, wrote that a child in the backseat had cracked open the window. It's not clear why the window was not immediately rolled back up or why the vehicle remained stationary.
Holy crap.
While being besieged by bears. We're watching the video of this. Yeah,
these are different types of bears.
It wasn't until park officials ordered the vehicle to move over a loudspeaker that the car jolted ahead and the situation was resolved without bloodshed. This was a much happier result than last July when a woman, you may remember this.
Yes.
Same zoo. Woman stepped out of her vehicle inside the park's tiger enclosure.
Yep.
She was dragged away by a tiger. She miraculously survived the mauling, but her mother was killed when attempting to rescue her. It's the same place.
Are they not putting up enough signs?
Apparently there was a sign right there where they were that says, do not get out of your vehicle.
You know,
pull down the windows.
Because bears.
There's bears out there. All right. And then we have time for one more story, and then we will wrap this up. Let's go with this one. Investigators are seeking to identify the Florida bank customer who included a bag of cocaine along with the cash deposit at an ATM machine.
A little something for you.
Yeah. A technician was directed to examine an ATM that had gone out of service earlier this month at Suncoast Credit Union. The ATM's deposit mechanism was jammed. Upon studying the ATM, the technician discovered what caused the jam, a small clear baggie containing a white powdery substance. Police reported the technician concluded the substance was possibly with the cash of the last person who made the deposit, causing the malfunction. So they got the name of the bank account of the last deposit.
We have your cocaine, by the way.
Right.
And I guess a little bit of a mishap.
They're just going to return it?
Yeah.
No,
it's here at the bank if you want to come get it.
It's unknown if the substance came from the last cash deposit or prior deposits, but it did test positive for cocaine and was placed into property and
evidence.
Where's
my cocaine? Oh, the bank.
Yeah. All right. And there you go. That's what I have in the B-File for you this morning.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
Well, Steven Tyler calling out Ric Flair on TMZ for claiming he's had sex with over 10,000 women in his life. Flair says the 10,000 count is accurate, but does admit the last 1,000 have looked like Steven Tyler.
Oh, my God.
Ferdy Pacheco. Ferdy Pacheco, who served as the corner man fixing up Muhammad Ali for years, has passed away at the age of 89. Pacheco's in-ring medicinal skills were so fast that during the fourth and fifth rounds of the Thrilla in Manila, he gave Ali a full colonoscopy.
Wow.
And finally, Charles Manson has been moved to Chino State Prison to Bakersfield Hospital, where he's reportedly on death's doorway. Manson has already begun telling nurses the things he's regretted about his life, with the first and foremost being that he didn't go with the Sharpie while etching in that swastika.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
And that's your Hollywood trash.
I have a list of the sexiest perceived men in the world by nationality. MissTravel.com surveyed 66,000 American women.
Are you going to go in a row?
I'm going to go in order.
Know,
Bill was quite
on.
That list seemed to go on forever yesterday about the cars. Went on forever. Bill, it was interminable.
Bill doesn't like things when I do things in chronological order.
Excite the listener and do them out of order.
Yeah.
Let me ask you on this list, pertaining to this list, yeah. Kathy, what nationality do you find? Is there a nationality you find inherently sexy?
You know what? It's funny that you ask that because I can give you an answer, but
don't do it in this
but
form.
It wouldn't be, no, but it wouldn't be who I would
okay.
necessarily be attracted to. Do you know?
Right. Yeah,
do you know
sure.
what I mean? But I would say, I mean, for me, I would say maybe Italian
okay.
or.
More Mediterranean.
Anything Latin.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right. Well,
what is your name?
We'll start with number 10.
By the way, I have a tiny pee-pee and I fart a lot.
Well, we'll start with number 10. It's Spanish, by the way.
Ah.
So, yeah. So it's on the lower end, but I mean, we're talking about a lot of countries that that people had commented on. But
I'm a fisherman. I will treat your man in a boat just right.
That's good.
Number 9 is the Danish.
The Danish.
Yes.
The Danes.
Oh, I love Danish.
Yeah.
Cheese Danish.
Denmark.
Cherry Danish.
What's that all over your face? That's Danish.
That's some Danish matter.
Cheese is your favorite Danish?
Oh,
yeah,
me,
probably.
Yes.
Not cinnamon?
And no. Cinnamon's good, but a cheese Danish.
Cheese Danish.
And there's no way on earth to justify it calorically. It's 50 billion calories.
Yeah, I don't go into the Danish and think. What is the calories here? You know, you just shove it in your face.
We are still talking about people?
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we were trying to talk about food, butthead.
Well, things we like to rub on our face.
Number 8 is Nigerian.
Nigerian.
Ooh, I could see that.
Interesting. Okay. Then
I'm
you
from
have
Nigeria, Gatti.
then you have number 7 is Italian.
Okay.
Okay.
So Spanish, I think Spanish and Italian similar, right?
A little bit,
yeah.
A little bit.
Mm.
No?
No.
Well, you've been to Spain and you've been to Italy. So
you've been
to
Barcelona.
Yes, I have.
They're both very geographically diverse, like culturally, too. Like there are
right.
you know, Madrid Spanish person is very different than a Barcelona Spanish person.
Barcelona. Yeah.
And if you're from Venice, you're a lot different than somebody who's from Sicily.
However, if you get the spaghetti at a bullfight, always delicious.
All right. Never mind. Go ahead, Preston.
Now that's too late now.
No, we're into it, and it's obviously something you had a second thought about saying. We have to hear it now.
Well, it was, I can't remember if it
is
was.
Is this about how many hours in a day?
No. Okay. 23 right. hours, 56 minutes, and 11 seconds.
All right, go.
So I can't remember if it was in Italy or Spain, but there's this sport that they have there where it's basically like rugby, MMA, football, soccer. Like, I mean, these people fight. And it'll be
you
like.
You sure you're not just watching riots?
No. Steve, it looked like a riot on the field, not like a funny or riot.
It's not that. It's not that game that Bert Kreischer was telling us about. That where they basically it's a game of tag, but it's crazy physical.
That
over
might
the
be it. Is.
That might be it.
But no, well, no,
is there a ball involved?
There's a ball involved.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what it is. All right. Anyhow, Italians 7th. 6th on this list of sexiest men per nationality, Scottish.
You know, just below our skirts, our ball sacks are hanging freely, inviting you in for a little twist.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but the Scots, maybe the accent.
I think
really
that's
sure.
it. There's a, maybe it's the Braveheart, William Wallace kind of thing.
Manly man.
A cool crap on your front lawn.
So, what is the lawn service or the guy who's
the Scots,
right? Scots, of course it'd be Scots. Why?
Yeah.
Scots. I just tilled your garden and I did your wife, and there's not a goddamn thing you can do about it because you're a pussy.
Steve used to, off air, you would parody about that. You're like, I don't give an F about your damn house
your
life or your people.
Just want your goddamn lawn to be all right.
Your garden was a disaster. I don't want to hear about your little snotty kids or your slutty wife. I'm going to fix your garden and I'm going to go. And I don't want to know you. And I don't want to be besties. That's what I'm here for. I'm your gardener. Don't talk to me. Don't ask me how I'm doing. I'll punch you in your throat. Get away.
So Scots are sixth on the list. Fifth is English.
Now, what type of
it doesn't
Englishman?
Say. It's very vague.
Right.
It just gives just an overall.
Kathy, what kind of? I assume you would not like an aristocratic.
No,
like Daniel Craig. Would that work for you?
Maybe. Okay. I don't know. No, okay. That wouldn't be my pick.
What about David Beckham?
Would not be my pick. I mean, he's a great looking guy, but that wouldn't be my pick.
What about Clive Owen?
No. Stop asking.
What about Mr. Bean?
Anyhow. So here's the deal. to piggyback onto that, so you said, you know, what kind of English?
Yeah.
Number four on the list is American. I mean, that's about as broad as you can
get.
Should
we beat the Brits? USA.
Yes, we did. I just got the news that we beat the Brits.
In what?
In being hot.
Yeah.
I mean, but we're just an amalgamation of all of it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We are.
But there's an American attitude, I guess, or whatever it is. All right, so continuing on. Number three, Pakistani.
What?
I found that surprising.
Pakistani?
No, you know what? And I understand this.
All right, go ahead. Let's hear it.
Well, no, keep in mind, these aren't just white Anglo-Saxon Protestants that are doing this. This is from thousands of people.
Right.
You're right.
You know?
No, I think that they, I have a lot of friends that find them sexy and
Pakistani.
Yeah,
men.
Like are almost if they same thing even with like a little bit of an accent.
Right.
And you know, like I actually one instance a friend of mine ended up talking to this guy at a bar and he was Pakistani and she was like super attracted to him, thought he was, you know, great looking and was a little bit attracted by a very minimal accent,
yeah.
But she
oh, no
was
question.
Attracted
there,
to it.
I mean, there can be some very sexy and
you are very beautiful.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I do the Saeed from Lost. Yeah. How come it only has four toes?
Yeah.
Four toes. And by the way, viewers, we'll never explain why.
Yeah, that's right. They never did.
We'll never explain why. And you will be constantly frustrated and saying, why did I even watch this for 7 or 8 years? And they don't tell you anything. It turns out it was purgatory. So everything they said it wasn't at the beginning, they were full of crap.
But what's wild is, you know, that whole region, I thought maybe like Iranians would be...
sexiest?
The sexiest.
Mm. I wish they all could be Iranian girls.
Mm. That's that general Middle Eastern area.
That Middle Eastern area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, but Pakistani was chosen. Third. Second on this list.
Hate when you do lists.
Australian.
Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were just talking not too long ago. If you come into the States and you start flashing
an Australian
accent
sure.
around.
That's the one that gets you.
The women swoon.
Gets you a lot of trim.
Yeah.
Gets you a lot of dingo. You know what I'm saying? Gears love to tug on your dingo.
The dingo's got my baby!
That's a... We have that?
We have that.
By the way, that's an Australian daycare service.
Oh. The dingo's got my baby!
And here at Dingo Daycare, we make sure your toys look after
oh, my God! Dingo Daycare.
Making lemonade out of lemons. Dingo Daycare. And Dingo, we take your baby.
The Dingo's got my baby.
That's their slogan. And Dingo.
Dingo, we take your baby. But you get it back.
Oh, my God. Somebody has to make t-shirts Dingo Daycare with a little caricature of a dingo.
Dingo.
Outline.
Dingo Daycare, we take your baby, but you get it back.
Somebody needs to hurry and make a cardboard sled.
Yes. Dingo Daycare.
Dingo Daycare.
God. That's brilliant. Number one on the list. Drum roll, please.
All right.
Interesting because actually a while back,
A
dating site labeled this particular group the ugliest men in the world.
Let's see if Kathy can guess.
Kathy?
Well, and I don't think that these people are ugly, and I am part Irish, but I'm going to say that it's the Irish.
She's right. Yes, absolutely correct.
I know
Irish.
Women who just melt for a little bit of an Irish accent.
Intern Erin.
That's what I thought you were going to bring up. Yeah.
She married Fergus O'Farrell.
Yeah.
Your intern has large boobies.
Huge. But before she met him, she always liked the Irish accent. And
she's 1,000% Irish, right?
She would always be attracted to just to that accent.
Yeah.
So when he came in, it was
like... She just grabbed the first dude from Ireland that actually came over here.
I'm marrying this guy. This guy. Authentic, real.
No, Sean's awesome.
He is awesome.
Apparently Irish rank at the top of this particular study.
What do you think of Colin Farrell's up in the...
Yeah,
that works for you?
Yeah, but that... I wouldn't say...
He's just a good-looking guy.
He's just a good-looking guy.
He's a good-looking fella.
Yeah.
Going over here, I want to sit on your face. Do disgusting things to your lower regions. But when they say it seems a lot more profound.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll make you cry a little bit and regret it.
What about Liam Neeson, Kath?
I actually like Liam Neeson.
I have a particular set of skills, especially in bed.
Yeah.
I use a dustbuster like you've never seen before.
Weird.
Dustbuster. You'll think you're getting horror from Dizzy Gillespie.
You guys ruin everything.
I know we do.
But this, I didn't do anything.
What it does, though, is it goes, I mean, ultimately, I think what you're saying is, this is the way I read it, and any list like this, the person, who would you like to bed down with, right? I mean, it's, I'd love to go out for ice cream with a Pakistani. You're talking about sexual attraction.
Sex. Yeah.
Somebody texts in, oh, God, what about the Irish curse?
Yes.
What's that?
I'm Irish.
They have something in common with Hitler.
Hitler penis.
Oh, that one.
Small penis.
Liam Neeson is...
Supposedly, he's swinging.
Yeah. Colin Farrell's got a decent-sized...
There's video of that, right?
Louisville Sluggers. I have... there's a Colin Farrell with a playmate.
Yeah,
I remember that.
That's not the bell. That's not the town bell. That's my unit. <It's a joke. laughs> I bang it against the garbage can and tell everyone it's time for church. He's a religious man.
Is he?
I don't know. I made it up.
I made it up.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah, that video was good. Him with that playmate?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because you know why? He wasn't douchey.
He was not. He was simply enjoying being with a playmate.
Like, all right, so the Ray J and Kim Kardashian
that
video,
was douchey.
He's so douchey. The dude with Paris Hilton, double douche.
Yeah.
Okay, but what about Tommy Lee? Oh, I love you so much.
Douchey.
I love you, And
Schmoopy.
I think he said it a few too many times.
Yeah. Oh, babe.
Yeah.
What's the
Did
best?
You ever see that, Kathy?
Yeah, that was actually. I think that was the first video you guys showed me.
Welcome to the company.
Yeah, that and wait, there was one other one. I can't remember at Y100. I can't remember what you guys showed me, and I was like, "All right, this
Did
is
you ever
weird."
See Two Girls in a Cup.
No, I won't watch.
No. Yeah, it's something you should never see.
No.
What's the best part of that Tommy Lee video? Now that you've had time to distance yourself from it,
I don't remember the boat.
Or in the when they're sitting in the front seat of the car.
They did it in front of a car?
Oh, yeah.
Well, wasn't there two? There were in a hotel two videos, right?
Yeah, because there was Bret Michaels and her together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as well.
I think that Tommy Lee's better.
Yeah, I think so.
It's their...
I love you, babe. Oh, babe. Oh, schmooby schmoob. Okay, listen, I want to go through this list of women.
Kristen?
By nationality.
Two lists? This
will be the second list in one day.
I have two lists. And we have an interview coming up, so I want to get right to this. So, according
you
to
know
this...
You do one day? A list of soups.
That'll drive him crazy.
I'm going to be on the roof doing a jackknife into the parking lot.
I'd go out of order on that one, because I know it would be really hard for him.
You couldn't.
All right, so the men that were surveyed... said that these are the sexiest nationalities. Number 10, Lebanese. And number 9, Bulgarian.
Bulgarian?
Wow. Yeah, I couldn't tell you what a Bulgarian woman looks like.
Come on, I don't have any musical beds for those nationalities.
Yeah. Number 8 is Filipino. I dated a Filipino girl for 2 years.
Me too.
Exotically beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. Then you have Brazilian.
Brazilian woman, yes.
All about
Your brother married a Brazilian.
Yeah, my sister-in-law is.
And you know what? They
do a lot of porn.
They do a ton of porn.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of them.
But no, there is a lot of them. There is a very welcoming way about them. You know, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Where they grab their ankles. Yeah, yeah. And,
Here, welcome.
Have at it.
No, I know what you're saying. It's very
gregarious.
It's communal. It's a party. It's everybody come on board. That type of.
And they wear lots of thongs.
That too.
Wow. Can I ask if there's somebody on the list? Croatian? For women?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I...
Because you know a pretty Croatian
No, no. So my cousin traveled all over the world, and he said that that is where the best-looking women were.
You know
and
what?
And he said he didn't think people realized that.
I think Poland. Is Poland on that list?
No, but I have met some hot Polish girls before.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That. Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also generates a lot of gorgeous women.
Number six on this list is Australian.
Australia.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I work at Dingo Dank here.
The dingo's got my baby!
But we give it back.
So these are women, men that find women and their nationalities attractive. Number five is English.
I do like a woman with a British accent. Depends on... There we go.
What was that first piece of music?
The fanfare.
She's in a rush.
You don't want, look, Elizabeth Hurley, the jutting jewel you don't want.
But Emily Blunt?
That's a home run.
Done. Yeah, game over.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was watching British MILF porn yesterday.
You were watching British MILF porn yesterday?
And the subset.
Oh, it's a good set, though.
It was. But this one.
You've been as bad as you're born.
It was great.
It had to spank you on your bum.
Uh-huh. That's all you want
to
say?
That's basically.
Right, you just say to other words now, like boot, bonnet, and loo.
So, number four, Colombian.
Again.
My brother-in-law married a Colombian. They live in Medellin, Colombia.
Lots of access to cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Actually, my family's traveling down there this summer.
Nice.
For a visit.
Are you going?
I am not going. Oh. It's in a time when I don't have vacation, so.
Why don't we all go? We'll do the show there.
That'd be cool.
Good point.
Okay, so number three on the list, American girls.
Yes. Yay! Bet your ass. We should be number one.
American women, hot. And then second on the list is Barbadian or Bahan.
Like Rihanna.
Rihanna.
Is it Rihanna Barbadian?
Is she?
Yes, I believe
so. From Barbados?
I believe so.
Bahamian.
Aren't you from Bahamas?
I thought she was from the Bahamas.
Is Bahan, does that mean, is that the Bahamian?
No, it's Southern Caribbean. It's not Bahamian. That's different.
B-A-J-A-N. Yeah.
So what is Rihanna?
Hot.
We're going to figure this out.
I'm not sure what nationality
she is. I thought she was Bahamian.
She's Barbadian.
Barbadian.
She's from Bahan.
Barbados.
Okay. Yeah, she's very, very attractive. Right. We had a comedian here one time, though, that said she looked like one of the Navi, but not blue.
Navi are hot.
Navi are hot. Hold on, Amber.
Hey.
Hey, what's up? And Amber from our video department.
Yes.
What's up?
I have a lot of Caribbean friends. I think it's actually Bajan.
Bajan. Yeah.
That's how you say it.
Thank you.
So Bajan, Bajan.
Correct.
Okay,
from
that
Barbados.
Makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Mm.
Ah. And do we know where? So it's that pertains to
Barbados?
Barbados.
Just Barbados proper. Okay.
All right. Okay, so you're either Barbadian or Bajan. Either word will work.
I don't think they actually consider it Barbadian. That's. Nothing I've heard before. They all consider themselves Bajan.
It's kind of like how we're American or United Statesian.
No, we're Amazian.
Amazian?
We are Amazian.
Amazian. That's a good one.
It's good one. It works. Nice.
Thank you, Amber.
No problem.
And then number one on the list of sexiest women.
Can you? Well, you know it right in front of you.
By national, I never would have guessed this.
All right, let me try to guess. No, okay. Nick, any guesses?
I was going
to
say Czech.
Czech.
All right.
I'm going to say, did I mention it already or no?
What?
All right, Ukraine.
No.
Okay.
Case?
I saw it.
All right, go ahead.
Armenian.
Armenian!
The Kardashians.
Oh,
that's just everything
we
about
all just got
it
so disappointed. Are
Armenian.
My neighbor's Armenian. Yeah. Lovely.
If and your last name
dude
rhymes
sitting
with
in the
Armenian.
Back raising his hand is Armenian.
Yes.
I want to point that out.
Well, so much for that. No, yeah.
That's according to this survey that was done.
And, interesting.
I mean, there's
Marlo
definitely
Thomas.
A beautiful, exotic look. She's Armenian?
I think so, right?
Marlo Thomas. I always thought she was really hot.
You know, there's not one Asian chick on that list.
That is a good point.
And that I would put them very high up.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised.
I would probably go Thai or Vietnamese, I think, over any of them. Wait. No, you did Filipino. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, I'm sorry.
Is takeout on there?
Takeout is not. I would say Japanese.
I love Japanese women.
Yeah. Japanese over Chinese or...
I think Thai.
Vietnamese or...
I like Thai.
Casey like Thai.
So I'd just like to order a Taiwanese woman to come to my room. I have a particular set of skills.
Although, you know what? I got a text here. It says Finland. Or
yes.
I tell you, I was in Sweden, which is, you know, just across from Finland. And,
Berta Herta.
And it was... Blonde hair, blue eyes, and fair skin. It was yeah.
guys
it was,
and girls.
It was exactly yeah the stereotype that you make it out to be, and attractive, thin, healthy people all over the place. At least that's what I was noticing. But I'm sure
that's all they show you.
There's slobs over there.
They
too.
They go right past the internment camps,
right,
where the ugly people are kept.
Right. But surprised that Irish guys landed at yeah. the very tip top of this list.
And they were also voted, though, you said the ugliest on the other list you had?
Yeah, there was another thing. Well,
that seems to be in direct contradiction.
It says here, the LA, it said recently it was revealed that fewer than 1 in 10 single Irish males who applied to put their profiles on e-list site beautifulpeople.com last year were accepted. The LA-based site, which has a worldwide membership of more than 5 million, made no apology for only accepting the globe's best-looking singles. Irishmen shared last place in the handsome table with the UK and Poland.
They actually set up tables.
So, yeah, that's where they found that. So it's all subjective. It all depends on who you're talking to and
true.
The people that are that are answering the questions and all that other stuff. So, I don't know.
Preston and Steve. On 93.3 WMMR.